listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Watch them Young Guns to Take None. Nobody safe from the Friday the 13th. Ghetto Jason, itchy trigger finger aching. Snatch your ass out the S class of faking. 40 blast. Oh wait, 44 blast. It's a bloodbath. Take it to first step down a thug path. Ain't no love here, just slugs here. Kids know the half. Just get plugged. You get plugged here. That's just impossible for the weak or to the last. Now behold the unstoppable third eye watching you, watching me throwing rocks from the penalty box. Copper plea, Young G. We was born to die. Don't cry for me. Just keep the heat close and just keep the heat closely and ride for me. I don't think he said closely. Anyway, cause we family for better or worse. You and I from the dirt, you search so hard to hurt. To be here at each year, I'm pouring out more beer for deceased peers. Hold it for it. Police line do die cross. They found his corpse in the loft with his head cut off, the butt naked. Homicide, the crime method. Add another killer verse to the murder record for the grand finale. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Test Podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on Saturday morning, which means it's feedback time.
Yep.
You know, appreciate y'all, for, you know, writing into the show, leaving us 5-star reviews, going to the blackouttips.com and leaving comments, emailing us theblackouttips@gmail.com. We're going to get into all those things. I'm going to check the voicemails later on. I didn't even look to see, but we may have some of those as well. Make sure if you do leave a voicemail, it's 2 minutes or less or else it'll get cut off.
Yeah, that's Google setting, not ours or whoever set them up Skype.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we appreciate y'all for doing all those things, because without y'all, we wouldn't be able to do this, guys.
That's the truth.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And we need to talk about these, 5-star reviews you guys left us, because we appreciate that. Let me see, where my song at.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
New day, new tides, okay? Harold W. hit us with that recurring. Thank you, Harold.
Thank you. Sound like you need to own the chicken chop.
Derek L. W. Linwood C. Noel W, thank you very much.
Almost the time of the year, Noel.
Got a one-time donation from Kamishan M, thank you very much.
I like that name, that's unique.
B. Coleman, thank you so much.
Hey, baby.
Eric M, I straight up out of Fayetteville State, okay, you know what I'm saying, attitude check.
Bronco Pride.
Come on in. Cedric W, Cedric the Entertainer, what they call him.
Mm-hmm.
Melanike I, thank you very much.
Hey, baby.
Preston F. Thank you, Press Dog.
Hey.
Calvin N. Thank you so much.
I hope the McDonald's still treating you right.
Gerard L. Terry W. Jason F. Thank you, Jason. Joseph O. Thank you, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Tyrone M. Thank you, Tyrone. Courtney R. Thank you very much, Courtney. And that's it. That's everybody. I always get to this
everybody.
One to one low. Thank you so much.
Come on.
Today's a new day.
But there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds. It's dark in my heart. And it feels like a coal mine.
It ain't easy, but
today's a new day. Well, tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's
alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up on a power that I can't explain.
The Holy Ghost power.
Hey. Like a shower now.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still.
I smile.
Come on.
Hey. Even though it hurts me, I smile.
Y'all feel that?
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still.
I smile.
Hallelujah.
Smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. Sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile. Smile for me. That's what they be saying in New York.
Hey, bitch.
Can you just...
for me.
Well, fuck you then anyway. You ugly. Smile.
Give him another one.
For me.
Hey, you with that ass.
Smile.
Oh, you can't even smile. Okay then. Sing it, Kurt. All right.
Yeah, she made me go, oh. All that ass.
All right, guys. We have some, we have 5-star reviews. Let me read these. And then also, I found a way to get to all our other reviews from other countries.
Woohoo!
So I don't know how long this is going to take, but we'll see what we can do. Some of our obscure country reviews. Okay, guys?
We'll do it. That's reviews.
The Blackout Tips International today.
Woohoo!
Okay? So let's get to these 5-star reviews. Must Listen 5 stars by Pacino84, who says, always listen to TBGWT. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Love this show by Simulated Being, who says, how do I even begin to explain how much this show means to me? At my boring retail job, they let us listen to music before the doors open. It's the highlight of my morning and has become a ritual to listen to the show. This show gives me joy and helps me start the day off with a laugh. The positive energy helps me get through my day. Thank you, Rod and Karen, and keep being for being my friends in my head. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
1535 Chicken CSI by Future PhD, who says, Karen had me going about the lifestyle she leads because you have spoiled her. 100, Mama Karen. yeah, a lot of people like that. Chicken CSI by I2Todd says, Mr. Bouncy House needs to be glad that little girl's daddy, uncle's brothers, and somebody didn't come put hands on him.
Come on.
We need the punnery must continue, especially the bad ones by Karen. She is country as a bucket of purple hull peas, and I love it. Thanks, I too, Todd.
Thank you.
It's funny though, cause like, Buddy sent, the only way I would put my hands on that dude or something is if he threatened my daughter or tried to do something, but sending your credit card and her buying that bouncy house after you told her to, I mean,
that's all on you, dog.
That's on you, dummy. You know, I mean, I could see her parents maybe being like, you know, just give it back or whatever, like just out of some, like, just because we don't really just block that dude's number and don't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, in general, like, he literally had consented on the text. What's she supposed to do? You know, lucky it was just a bouncy house.
Come on.
But you never know with these niggas. If you would try something like, and now you owe me, then yeah, I would fuck him up. Anyway, 5 stars from Stitcher. Ancient Future says, the best thing to hit podcast, and this is my absolute favorite show, period. Rod and Karen bring fresh viewpoints to news, politics, and life with a healthy dose of humor. They have their fingers on the pulse of reality and present it in such a way to keep us sane in an insane world. So for this, I forgive them for almost killing me. I was hospitalized after a minor surgery and just couldn't help but laugh out loud. My nurse warned me about tearing my stitches, but I kept listening and kept laughing. She came in and took my tablet for my own good, but just like just like the baby on the old commercial trading stocks, I whipped out a hidden cell phone and went back to the episode. I love Karen's laugh and the hey when her song comes on. Rod's puns just don't stop and they compliment each other perfectly. Keep doing what you're doing and may your love continue to blossom and your pockets fill. P.S. Have any of the original artists say how they feel about what these white people are doing to the music with these covers? You know, I have not seen an artist talk about it yet.
Because they either may not know or don't care.
I assume when black people make dope music, they don't go on YouTube and watch these white people fuck it up. That's my guess. You know, but I don't know. Maybe if you really found Beyonce somewhere, she'd be like, this, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Maybe. I don't know. All right. And the thing is, I only picked the black ones. They cover everything. You see what I'm saying? So it's like a white people have an entire different, relationship with music and covers and shit, is that in that genre. It's like in rap, we would call that shit biting or.
Oh, that's right. They have whole bands that don't do nothing but just cover.
Yeah. Like you can be a cover band. You can be, you know, you can cover one particular band with just your band. So, you know, I know they had like a band of little people that did Kiss songs and they would dress up in the makeup and shit and they would be like Little Kiss and they were touring. Like,
wow.
You know, so I don't know the rules on that shit. Like what, you know, cause I know in black circles, if it was like a little NWA, them motherfuckers would never sell no tickets because people would be like, the fuck? Y'all still in NWA music, you know? You know, yeah, how we do.
Like you said, the relationship is completely different. It was like, well, they ain't saying it's their shit. Like, they're just right. Singing it almost to celebrate what you've already done.
So I told you, via this website called mypodcastreviews.com, you can sign up, you can pay a little fee, like $5 a month or something, and it lets you look at your reviews from all over the world, as opposed to in iTunes, where you have to switch country region, and it's very hard
it's
to find
a lot of goddamn flags.
Now the thing is, I have to go in here and search the reviews and tell people, like, I can find them. I don't know, there's a lot of them. I don't know the best way to do it, but I'm gonna skip the US and Canada because we already know we are up to date on those. Mm-hmm. But I think what I'll do is I'll start with the more obscure places and then work my way up.
Right.
So for instance, Sweden. We got one review from Sweden. I don't know if we ever read this.
From Sweden? I don't remember no
this
Sweden.
This was March 3rd, 2013. 5 stars by Bosef McGee, who says, number one, all caps, yes. Hey, Rod and Karen, I love you both. Love this cast. This is Chris from Sweden that called in last week. Just a little correction. The podcast I was trying to promote last week was the Stochastic Kitchen, not the Sarcastic Kitchen. My bad for not being clear. Keep it up and stay black. thank you
baby.
2013. I wonder if he's still doing that podcast. South Africa, we got one. All right, South Africa, where in the world is our podcast reviews?
I know, right?
Love it. 5 stars by at Master Zulu, who says, heard about the show on Twitter but have been hooked ever since. Listen once and you will never go back. Master Zulu, that's in 2014, March 3rd.
Thank you.
Ooh, New Zealand, we got two. Shout out to Flight of the Conchords.
I know, right?
My dogs. One from February 2016. Oh, these are both from 2017. February 26, 2017. Hilarious. 5 stars. I've been listening for a month now and look forward to the daily episodes. Love that they are usually super long, never get bored.
Thank you.
Funny and informative, by, oh wait, who was that one by? Did I say who that was by? That was by A Poem for Pimbo. Okay, this one is from Brev 711, who says, and this is from August 20th, 2017, only funny and informative, 5 stars. Only been listening about 2 weeks after I heard them mention my fave Game of Thrones podcast Fandom. The two hosts are awesome and funny. They have equally hilarious guests. Came for Game of Thrones recaps, which are fantastic, but they always cover a wide range of real world topics, some of which can be hard to talk about and listen to, but they're important conversations and I appreciate their efforts in covering these topics. Highly recommend this podcast and plan on going premium for the backlog. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Shout out to Nina and them.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be on their podcast today with Leslie Mack. We're gonna give a black ass review of Queen Sugar, 2 episodes this week, so be on the lookout for that, guys. Podcast Fandom. Japan, we got 5 from Japan. Let me go to the 2013. We got one from Yoko Sukaboy. Who says, I'm addicted. 5 stars. You guys are the best. The puns, the wit, the inflammatory remarks make my day. Karen, yo, is everything. Is the best. LOL, keep up the good work. I'll be joining premium soon. All the best. Ron in Japan.
Thank you.
And then we got this one from Started From The Bottom, Like A Family. 5 stars. It's April 13, 2016. For several years I used podcasts merely for education and news, like TED and CNN, thinking that was the only thing out there. Living here in Tokyo, that's my only connection to culture. But when Beyonce dropped Formation, then the Super Bowl happened and no one was talking about it, and I was like, what the actual heck? So I searched black podcasts and you guys came up. I saw the picture and I was like, let me give these guys a listen, not knowing that from that point on, I would be listening to you guys every single day. Haha, it's like my culture connection. You guys talk about what I care about and I love it. Keep doing you. Makes me want to invite you guys for a barbecue. I know it'll be fun. Anyways, you come to Tokyo, I'll make sure to show you around.
Oh, thank you.
I love this podcast. This is also from 2016, August 5th, and this is a Texan in Tokyo who says, I love, love, love this podcast. 5 stars. This is easily my top podcast. I love how informative and insightful it is. I feel all sorts of emotions listening to all the mostly terrible but not always news on my daily commute, from outrage 1 minute to bursting out laughter then the next. I'm sure I look odd to the other train passengers when I start rolling my eyes at some of the messed up things people say and do back home in the U.S. I also love these two hosts and all their guests too. Rod and Karen have a love and respect for each other that's evident in the way they talk and listen to each other. I love it. The different news segments and games are introduced with great songs and cheerful jingles that go against most of the content. but it just reminds me of how absurd everything can be sometimes. Did I mention I love this podcast? I really learned a lot and became more aware, much more aware. I still have so much to do, of course. Since discovering the blackout test, I also can't watch really gruesome TV shows. So I'm also a big fan of The Walking Dead recaps. Shout out to Rod and Karen. Keep doing what you're doing. You're both awesome. And to everyone else, listen to this podcast. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Okay, you got me, guys. I'm putting 5 in by Ola Chama in Japan. This is August,
getting them all the way over there.
August 6th of this year. This review is long overdue. Time to throw my offering in the collection plate. I've been listening for a good while now. Rod and Karen have become a top priority in my iTunes playlist. I can't think of any other podcast as interactive, informative, and interesting as the TBGWT. My life has certainly been enriched by their points of view and about news and current affairs from a black perspective. Even if you ain't a person of color, aren't a person of color, there is much to be learned and enjoyed from these two. Love you guys. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for putting 5 on it, baby.
Yep. So I think that's everybody from Japan. Okay, let's see what else. We got Ghana. All right, let's do Ghana. I'll get to that. All right. With love from GH, 5 stars by Delali 92. Hey guys, been listening to your show since that Jack Reacher pod where the revolutionary cinematic genre Impossible White Man was born. I'm probably your only listener in Ghana, but you guys, this is from 2014, guys. We probably have more now. But you guys are getting global fast. Keep up the great stuff and keep it real as always. Sorry your fans force you to watch True Blood each week, but that's, oh God, I remember that time. Woo!
You and Justin.
But that just shows how much you love your fans. I wouldn't wish an episode of this True Blood on the worst enemy, Delali. Thank you, Delali.
Thank you, baby.
Oh, man. Let's see. Germany, we got 2. I feel like we may have read Germany, but I'll go back and see. Germany. T. Eriko. Oh, yeah, we definitely read hers. No, let me make sure. Yeah. We definitely read hers. I see all the time on Twitter. And then we got one that says, Kane, cuz of Bernie so black and stayed. This is by Chibs 13 from July 28th, 2015. 5 stars. I came cuz of Bernie so black and stayed. Super entertaining, awesome podcast.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you. Man, Bernie had him going in Germany. Belgium. Thanks for being my lifeline. This is from December 12th, 2015. 5 stars by High Yellow Moon. Rod and Karen are the cool ass friends we all want to have. I've been traveling for a year and my 5 times a week TBGWT fix has kept me sane, from the fishing village in Brazil to the beaches in Croatia. Dang, you be traveling
for real.
It's giving voice to my anger, my pain and joy and struggle black people face worldwide. It has been a lifeline to home. You are seriously missing out if you don't listen to this podcast. Black expats especially need to get up on this and keep up the great work, and much love. P.S. I got 5 on it for the premium soon. Thank you.
Woo-hoo! Thank you, baby.
And then let's see, Australia. I know we read these, at least I know we read some of them.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, Wanga from 2015, definitely read his. Pat from Sydney. This is from May 9th, 2015. I don't know. 5 stars, great shows. I started listening about a year ago and been hooked since the start. I'm from Australia and it's great to hear their views on current issues in the world and of course the games. I love Baller Alert and Guess the Race. Keep up the good work. Let's see who else we got.
Thank you.
We got S. Scott from SSCCOTT from Australia. Great show, 5 stars. I've been listening to the show for a while and it's fantastically entertaining. Sometimes it's under 2 hours, sometimes it's over 3. Go the distance, it's worth it. Rod and Karen, I opened my eyes to a world that is vaguely familiar and yet disturbingly different. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
And then March 2012, Trevor Halachwako says, 5 stars, awesome shows. Hi, black guy who tips nation. As many of you know, I'm a huge NBA fan, but I have a secret to share with y'all. If I had the chance to be reborn as any player in the league right now, I'd be Sean Marion. Not Kobe, Durant, or LeBron, but NBA champion Sean Marion. Yeah, see, I hate, see what happened. Okay, so this is what happened. This is back when we first made the promise to read any 5-star review.
Mm-hmm.
And so what people were doing was writing in stuff for me to read to make it sound like I was saying it
right.
because sometimes people write their promotions for their podcasts, mm-hmm. ads, all kinds of shit.
Yes.
But yeah, so I hate Sean Marion's game.
That's why they did that.
So he wrote, this is from 2012. I don't know if I probably still do kind of hate him, but not as much. But 2012, I was definitely peak hating Sean Marion's game. So he wrote in this to make me basically say that I like Sean Marion. Anyway. No, not Kobe, Durant, or LeBron, but NBA champion Sean Marion. He's got a great jump shot that I would love to replicate. And he has more rings than LeBron and Durant combined. Oh, and if I could pick a team I'd like to play for, man, holler at me, Boston Celtics.
Y'all see why we don't read anything anymore?
My second favorite team behind the Bobcats anyway, but in all seriousness, Ryder Care, you are awesome, hilarious, insightful, and most importantly, Ratchet. This podcast is a must listen. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
So that's Australia. And then we're almost done. UK is the last one. There's 16 of these. We have to have read most of these, I'm guessing. I know we read DJ Jaffa this year, September 8th, because that would have been after I got this out. So let's see who else we got. May 27th, 2017, The Best by Lila, C-W-I-N-E, 1-2-3-4-8. I'm so, 5 stars, I'm so grateful for these two. I'm always excited to get a new episode. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love Your Wife's Laugh, quotes, 5 stars by Beto, 456-724-9538. That sounds like an eye test. Only joking, I'm not that emotionally vacant idiot, and I will fight anyone that tries it with you, Karen and Rod. I love your work, the way you both think, your humor and dedication, your podcast. TBGWT was a tremendous addition in my life in 2016. I look forward to going premium in 2017. I'll write a better review later, but for now, love, love, and more love from How About Beth. Thanks, How About Beth.
Thank
oh, no, over Twitter. Okay.
Baby.
Let's see who else we got here. Laugh, Learn, and Grow by The Faith Flow from UK. This is 2017, December 7th. This is a cracking good podcast.
Not a cracking.
This is straight, definitely from the UK. It's a cracking good podcast with all the relevant news and from across the pond. The best. Tele reviews anywhere. Some fabulously cheeky games. I live for Guess the Race.
Cheeky.
Come through with this. Where's my tea?
I know.
And lots of humor to balance all the grim news out there. I adore the host, Rod and Karen, and they provide this high quality professional content free. You're frankly bonkers. Shit. You're frankly bonkers if you don't come get some of this. Thank you.
Hey, we have Rob Comedy, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's see who else we got. Best podcast by Wade 78. This is June 22nd, 2016. 5 stars. This show is incredible. Ryan and Karen put on a great show, and I'm in tears laughing every time I listen to them. Not only are they funny, but I've learned about lots of issues, especially LGBTQ. I'm from the UK, and it's always interesting to listen to, about some of the issues in the US. I love the chemistry between these two and their love and warmth for each other permeates throughout the podcast, which is just lovely. Also, their Game of Thrones recap is second to none. I can listen to them and their beautiful accents all day. Thank you
baby.
Get Listening. This is by Learners with two S's, UK. 5 stars. Consistently hilarious, informative, and brilliant. Rod and Karen are wonderful hosts, and you do well if you started listening today. Thank you. This podcast saved my sanity by Katie Pie. This is May 10th, 2016. 5 stars, of course. I spend so much time my day in the online space, as it's both where I work, play, and maintain a social life after moving thousands of miles from my family and long-established friends. As I was beginning to doubt my own sanity at being what I consider to be a reasonable negress, I finally gave Rod and Karen's podcast a listen in December while visiting home, D.C., Though I felt instantly at ease with their humor, sharp analysis that considered multiple sides and segments, I truly fell in love while listening to Grocery Store Respectability episode. It sounded like me and my best friend of 20 years. I felt I had happened upon a family. I claim you even if you don't claim me. I'm so glad I became a premium member. I wish you both all the success in the world. You have built something special and intensely gratifying for so many. You make me a better thinker. Much love, KP at number one feeling.
Thank you. We claim you, baby.
Mm-hmm. This is so good.
I know a lot of people was like, damn it, I ain't never think they was gonna read it.
right? Pouring out 40 ounces of love for TBGWT, Jennifer OZ. Oh, Jennifer OZ.
Hey, baby.
Okay, Gina, Karen, you win. You finally broke me down. I guess you could get this review, Martin. As you guys love Martin, I hope you will enjoy my paraphrase quote of Martin's famous first proposal to Gina.
Yes.
In reference to my finally giving TBGWT a much overdue review. Well, I love your show. I've been listening for nearly a year now, but donating to the shows I loyally listen to, I just don't believe in leaving reviews. I'm too trifling to be bothered with supporting the art and entertainment I consume if I can help it. However, just as with my pockets, you broken it to my conscience too. Now I've been enjoying hearing Rod playfully mock the OZ of my double barrel last name each month as he sends a shout out to the TVGWT patrons on Saturday for a minute now, and Sister Karen's pleas for reviews in the offering basket have finally melted my cold indifferent heart.
Aww.
So here I go, and yes, Rod, I'm leaving this review from China. I know you said not to, but if they come for me, so be it. I think I'm good though, as aside from blocking my access to your show for about a solid week after you issued the episode entitled Chinese for Dinner, they seem to have determined TVGWT is not a subversive threat to the state and are letting your show, I gotta be careful with these titles, letting your show through on a pretty much daily basis now.
We don't want no problems with, the dude over there going, hey, I don't like what y'all said.
Right. Though when I first arrived, it did appear that they were screening each episode first, and then they would not only cause delays but weird hiccups and tracking issues in the content eventually received. I love your show and have carried it with me from London to Beijing, so it's really on me to have gotten this in sooner under safe conditions. I've enjoyed TBGWT since I found you from searching for black podcasts on iTunes. I started listening in London just before completing my probationary period at what was an awesome new job in the heart of the city, and let me tell you, it's a good thing I hadn't found you too sooner, because there are only so many snorts of laughter you could pass off as coughs. Earbuds going in a bit more after often than some might deem professional to catch an earful of that sweet, sweet daily dose of TBGWT. As mentioned, I'm in China's capital city now, and while my sweet London career is behind me or on pause at the moment as I settle here with my husband, who's an expat contract to this country, Beijing's office for a few years, and wait for baby number two.
Aww.
TBGWT is definitely staying in my full rotation. So please enjoy these 40 ounces of love from Red Kami China. Love it here so far. A very interesting country. P.S. If you and Karen are ever interested in taking a trip to China, I'd be happy to put you up in our guest room. Oh, man.
Oh, thank you. Y'all gonna make us have to travel.
Y'all so nice.
I know. Thank you. Man, baby number two probably born by now, and I hope baby number two is precious.
Mm-hmm. So good. 5 stars. That guy Fez said, this is from 2014, an amazing podcast that I've been listening to for a good few years now. I was put on the TBGWT after Rod made an appearance on The Evening Jones. Rod and Karen do an excellent job seamlessly transitioning from talking about body fluid cookies to discussing current social justice, social political issues.
We talk about a lot of shit, don't we?
They have also introduced me to a plethora of other great podcasts such as Insanity Report, Where's My 40 Acres, and Westmore for the Eggers. Keep up the good work where Rod and Karen, and once I get my money right, I'm going premium for show.
Thank you.
Highly recommended by Juna Zell. This is from November 9th, 2014. TBGWT popped up randomly on my Stitcher feed and I was instantly hooked. The hosts are unflinchingly honest, insightful, and frequently hilarious. I'm a white guy from England. This show has made me think about a lot of issues that have never troubled me in my bubble. It's been truly eye-opening. And this is Wakanda segment is one of the funniest things I heard this year. Thank you.
Thank you.
They Say What You're Thinking from Learn Traveler, September 26, 2014. Been listening to Rod and Karen for a few years. They are hilarious, crazy, and down to earth. At least once an episode, you'll find yourself laughing and wiping away tears. And on top of that, they are charming and professional. 1 minute and trill as all get out the next. Some of the best parts of the show are when Rod and Karen laugh at each other's jokes, the equally hilarious guest visits, and the wonderful games. If you listen live, join the chat room. It's a must. TBGWT is where it's at.
Thank you.
Anton, this is from December 21st, 2013.
It's so much love out there, baby. I'm glad you found a way to go back and get them.
Right?
I know some people probably gave up.
Right. They're like, ain't never eat my shit.
Yeah, a lot of people, y'all, lost. Some people gonna get the shock of their life. They're like, I left that 5 years ago. But baby, we fight. Today is your day.
I hope you're still listening.
And me too.
Anton says five stars by, Anton S. Anton S is the title. Five stars is a review, and the account on iTunes is Fight TV. Listen to this all the way from London. This podcast, one of my fave things to listen to. Every episode is quality, and Karen absolutely kills me every time. Keep up the good stuff, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see who else. Consistently Good by Hermit_ish from UK. Love this podcast. I've yet to be disappointed by an episode. Always amusing and interesting by turns. They have a varied array of guests that allows them to raise different issues for discussion. Also love the review of the Ratchet Read Crazy and funny recent news stories. I would be lost without them in my rotation during the daily commute to keep me awake behind the wheel. I'd encourage everyone to give the show a listen. Thank you. Brilliant podcast by Mike 55 in London. Oh wait, I think we've done Mike's.
I think we did Mike's too.
Yeah, we know Mike, man. Mike in London.
He good people.
Yeah. Who else we got? And that's it. All right, that's everything. Canada got 40, but I'm like 99% sure we read every Canadian review.
I think we have.
So we can get into the comments you guys left on the show.
Yeah, just in case I'm having technical difficulties.
What, you having technical difficulties?
Yeah, with my screen for some. But you know, okay. You don't have bounces. We need to fix that.
You refreshing or whatever?
Yeah.
Or whatever. All right, cool. Well, while you're doing that, I'll get into our podcast episodes for this week. Of course, we have 5 episodes, starting with your feedback on episode 1533, which was International Podcast Giveaway, where we gave away a lot of stuff from like Loot Crate and stuff. A lot of people were a little bit disappointed later on Twitter and social media because they didn't watch the show live that day, so mm-hmm. they end up missing us giving away a bunch of stuff. Which, you know, that's sad.
That's,
you know,
why it pays to be in the chat room.
Yeah, but we want to, you know, feedback show. Like, if y'all notice, when we do these giveaways, it's almost always on a feedback show, because I think feedback shows are really for the real fans, man. I understand people might be busy on a Saturday or something, but right. You know, people that make time on a Saturday when we really don't keep a schedule, like,
yeah, we might
shit might be at 10 morning. Might be at 11, might be in the afternoon, noon. Might be late at night, like, mm-hmm. Those people that show up for that, man, we really do want to show our gratitude to them, because that's what keeps us going. Our feedback show every week is the least listened to show mm-hmm. of the week, because, you know, it's the audience's show. So
correct.
My guess is four shows a week, people like hearing what Karen and I have to say about things. Nothing wrong with that. But then there's one show a week where we hear what y'all have to think about what we said, and we have a little conversation on a Saturday. And maybe people don't find that as interesting to hear what the audience has to say, or maybe they just right. don't have the time. I there's tons of podcasts out there. I get it. But I feel like the people that show up on Saturday are just like true tried and true fans. Like, they really stick with us, and they really keep it going, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why we give away stuff on Saturdays when we normally do a giveaway. All right, so we got 5 comments. Sim Simmer says, America isn't smart enough to impeach this dangerous fool, so we'll probably get 4 more terrifying years. I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sim Simmer also says, why was it so much fun listening to the giveaway Sunday morning? I felt like I won, being reminded of some of my 90s fave. As yet, Nicole, y'all are the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
D. Ramsey PH Dunn says, love the Outkast music this AM, 5 stars. Yeah, I started before... Like, if you come watch the chat live, for normally around 30 minutes, depending on how long it takes Karen to get in here, I just play music and get my articles ready and all that stuff. And then she'll come in and it will start. And some days I'll just be like, I feel like listening to Outkast today. This morning I feel like listening to SZA's Control album. Like, it just varies. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Mm-mm.
Whitley F. Brooks says, fun fact, the first song my aunt remembers me singing was Last Night by As Yet. I knew all the words. I was 4, lol. Yo.
Ha ha!
Let me tell you something. Last Night is such a dirty song to
mm-hmm.
me. But the way they sing it like, it's
covered up, man.
They sing it like it's almost like a gospel song or something. Like, mm-hmm. like, you know, but it's Last Night, I was inside of you and shit. Like, I don't know if the kids should be you know, while making love to you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's why a lot of times, which is, I don't understand this, but on most stations that like your top R&B stations, they'll play that but won't play rap songs. But y'all mm-hmm. do know sometimes the content is the same, very sexually charged songs, mm-hmm. but because somebody's singing it over a melody and a beat and there's four of them and somebody's rapping them, all of a sudden you can't play the rap version.
Yeah, that I saw the sun, the moon, the mountains and the rivers. I saw heaven when I made sweet love to you. Like, that's just an orgasm.
Come on.
Anyway, at 4 years old, that's hilarious. Itasha Nicole says, oh my god, listening to this giveaway was so much fun. That is just what I needed to get a boost to my mood. You guys are awesome, and I say that with a clap in between each word. Three snaps, a broke wrist, and five stars falling from the sky. Thank you, Itasha Nicole.
Thank you.
That's the other thing, if you weren't here, maybe get your life through the through the replay, you know,
having flashbacks, naming the songs.
Yeah, we had fun, man. We'll definitely do it again.
I went back and listened to it. It was really fun going back and listening to it.
Yeah. So and then we had the poll, which no comments, but the poll was, do you think Trump will be reelected? Mm-hmm. Yes, no, or he'll be impeached way before that. 15% of y'all think he will be impeached. I'm telling y'all now, man, watching that Vietnam documentary on how they, because Nixon didn't get impeached, he resigned, I believe.
Correct.
Watching that Nixon documentary, y'all, the amount of fuck up you have to do to get impeached and the amount of criminal just involvement that it would take, like, it's a lot, man. It's a lot. I don't think Trump has the shame that would make him do what Nixon did, which is resign.
He's not gonna resign.
Anyway, 42.5% said no, and 42.5% said yes. So that's 50-50. He'll be reelected.
Yeah, we got him for 8 years, y'all.
Yeah, and our audience is pretty fucking to the left, I'd imagine, and very pro black and shit. And they're still like, man, shit, can't call it. 15-30.
It ain't because of us, because white folks is unpredictable. The odds are racism is alive and well, and they gonna vote for racism.
Mm-hmm. Is he gonna still be racist in 2020?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Then
15-34. Slut Kings was the episode we had. Talked about Amber Rose's slut walk and Hugh Hefner dying and shit. Anonymous writes in, you're right about Hugh Hefner, but I think elaborating a bit on the complexities of exactly who this guy was, what he represented, was summed up well in this article. Broadly, Vice, Broadly, okay, it's called Playboy Campaign for Abortion Rights While Railing Against Women. It's long. I'm not going to read it all. Sorry it's so long, but it really does paint a broader picture, no pun intended, on how he was for women's rights until feminists started pointing out where he could do better. Yeah, it's that thing where I think there's some positive things that came out of Hugh Hefner's regime, if that's a way to call it. Like, there's some, but I don't think they were intended thing. I don't think they were necessarily purposeful things.
Correct.
I think ultimately, man, and I don't know, I just think it's creepy. I don't like the legality of it, the morality of it. I don't really know what to say. I mean, an 18-year-old woman can decide if she wants to fuck some dude, some old man, for and be taken care of. I mean, it's basically sex work, you know. So if that's a thing, I gotta go tickle this old nigga's balls once a night so I can continue having a daily $1,000 clothing allowance and living in a lavish mansion and all that. If that's a thing that these girls want to do, I mean, it's not up to me to decide that they can't do that, you know. I think I can still think it's creepy on his part as a grown ass adult, you know, fucking 91-year-old man still trafficking in that shit. I find it kind of weird. I think to a certain extent his life was the blueprint for a lot of womanizing type of men. Like, I don't think it's hard, it's difficult for me to listen to arguments of how influential he is when you know for a fact his lifestyle is about women as commodities. It's not about women as
equal human beings.
Yeah,
he literally wouldn't fight for their quote-unquote rights. His thing was like, I want them to be able to do whatever they want to do so that I can continue to do what I want to do. So like you said, it's one of those things where it quote unquote happenstance that it quote unquote was a positive thing for women, but his thing was not really fighting, his whole sole purpose was not fighting for the rights of women. It's like, right. Hey, if you can do what you want to do, I can continue to do what I want to do.
Yeah, like I can see, you know, look at the way people feel about Amber Rose and the slut march and the women that do the slut walk, and how much and how different it is how those people view how they view Hefner. That says a lot about, to me, what's truly a strike at the balance of power and what's not. You know, what's really revolutionary and what's not. You know what I mean? Like, women taking their own sexuality and being like, look at me, I'm a badass motherfucker, and also just because I dress like this doesn't mean I you can't respect me, it doesn't mean I don't have rights, it doesn't mean it's okay to rape me, it does, you know, like that's more revolutionary to me than Hugh Hefner. And you can tell because of how people view it. Like, people don't view Hugh Hefner as, oh my, like, if you know what, if he was truly that revolutionary, people wouldn't fuck with him. But he was on TV just not that long ago with a fucking house full of blonde chicks that everybody knew had to fuck him every night, like, and people looked at it like it was adorable, you know. So I don't know that he's so counterculture anyway.
Now you brought up a good point, and that's a fact. If you are very revolutionary, white America ain't gonna fuck with you. Like, if you, yeah, like if you really trying to break chains, if he was truly about women's rights, I'm not talking about,
he didn't talk, you know what, if he was about women's rights, why didn't he talk about when Bill Cosby got accused of rape in his motherfucking mansion?
Crickets.
He got real quiet, disappeared, and that was it, you know. Someone in the chat brought up that he was accused of supplying him with some of those Quaaludes, you know. But we know for sure that one of the attacks happened in his mansion with a girl that he just disappeared, and next thing you know, she woke up and Bill Cosby was jacking off at her feet or some shit. Like, the girl she was like 17 or something.
Yeah, she wasn't even supposed to be there,
right? Like, so I don't know, man. I understand that it's complicated, and I I'm gonna do what I do when I don't know all the ins and outs and just say I don't know, because I don't have a clear cut and dry thing. I've heard that he was abusive. I haven't read the actual accounts of abuse. I've just heard that in one of the women that was a Playboy bunny a while ago wrote a book and was talking about him being abusive and stuff, and I don't know. I just thought it was weird to see so many people lionizing him as a hero, when I was like, well, if you're really about that life, wouldn't a lot of the stuff he did also be kind of bullshit?
Come on.
You know, but you know, I don't think he was revolutionizing gender dynamics or what, maybe what he did was then undercut by his personal, like maybe what his magazine was supposed to have done, which apparently started off of leaked photos of Marilyn Monroe or some shit like that weren't supposed to be published, and then obviously later he rejected the Vanessa Williams thing, so maybe he learned that lesson over time. But it's just weird. I just don't see him as this cut and dry positive figure, and I just thought a lot of people that are celebrating him were more like this motherfucking pimp than actual, like,
right. That's what the celebration,
this civil
was,
rights hero, you know what I mean. But I mean, also, like I said, if some positive things came from the fact that he was like, I want to fuck 18-year-olds forever for the rest of my life, and he actually was able to like contribute to the sexual revolution and the freeing of women and owning of their own images and shit, if that's a thing, that's a byproduct of, I mean, I guess that's a better than, it's kind of like a lot of shit in this country where it's like Lincoln ain't really want to free the slaves, but he wanted to win the war, you know. It's like, yeah, I don't exactly look at Lincoln like a fucking hero, but yes, I am glad he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation, even if, you know, that shit didn't really say what people think it said, you know. Tiffany says, thank you. Would you believe I had to get in some clear people's asses about our experiences with war and the after effects just this past weekend? Of course, they were talking about football and disrespecting the flag, and I told them they have nothing to do with each other. I told them, just say you don't care about this cause and what Kaepernick was actually taking a knee for, because I guarantee your ass wasn't saying this shit when JJ was raising all that money for Harvey victims and using his platform or celebrity to shed light on blah, blah, blah crickets. Then they tried to say, who wants a football player as their kid's role model? And of course, the first names they threw out there were Odell, Ray Rice, and Mike Vick. I chimed in and said, don't forget about Ben Roethlisberger or the New York kicker that was, Josh Brown, that was beating up his wife. Crickets again. Finally, they brought up how they were disrespecting the flag and the veterans, and I came unglued. I told them my grandfather fought in the Korean War and had 7 children. Not one of them or any of his grandchildren joined the military. He was a proud vet, but always told us the white man's army was no place for us. And to finish them off, I asked, who do you think my granddaddy was treated, how do you think my granddaddy was treated when he returned to Alabama from the war?
Come on!
Crickets yet again, and you could have heard a mosquito break wind, and to break the silence, I told them he was treated like shit. I get so sick and tired of clear people trying to tell us how we should feel about something they know absolutely nothing about. Shut the fuck up sometimes and listen. I digress. Over here, pounding on this keyboard at work and waiting on somebody to say something about it. Y'all have a good one, smiley face.
You know her keyboard was like, ooh, you finna try. Better than me. Ooh, bitch, it ain't me.
Caps, caps, caps.
Yes, that's what her keyboard sound like.
Listen, she, I just clicking away. That's hilarious. Man, it's funny because, one of the reasons black people don't fuck with patriotism is the erasure of the black experience through patriotism.
Come on.
It's a catch 22.
Right, when you said God bless America and I'm proud to be an American, you erase niggas, you erase Native Americans, you erase Asian descent people.
Who you finna try? A better than me? Who bitch it ain't? Caps, caps, caps. Who are you
Sorry.
Man, that's what your keyboard sound like when you was at your desk. That's what they heard across the office.
Yeah, that's terrible, man. Honestly, that's just
right.
Terrible. Right.
And then once you really challenge them, because that's the thing, I think a lot of white folks are used to
watch just, how much evil.
I didn't tell
we this. Call it crime. Watch how much crime picks up if you take away our game.
What do you think about that?
There's nothing else to do, Sam.
I didn't even mean to play that audio, guys, but that literally is a great, that goes right along with your point about NFL role models.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? They'll look at Ray Lewis now as a role model because he against the flag shit. You know, and he talks about black on black crime. What about black on black crime? Like, they'll do that. But yet, Kaepernick is wrong. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Karen.
No, you're talking about the patriotism. And I was, excuse me, talking about now, when people bring that up and people use certain words and phrases, we automatically know we're not included. And then they were like, why don't you love the country? I love the country too, but I know the country's for the bullshit. You love the country and you don't want to point out the bullshit. And you act like I'm wrong for saying that this country is fucked up.
Right. It's funny too because, you at work.
Right.
Like, that's supposed to be a place where everybody goes to get their shit done. And you're just there to get a check.
God damn it!
It turns
into
this.
You give me the goddamn respect you would damn well want yourself, or I will kick your black ass.
You are suspended, sir. As of right now. Get out.
Right. You don't want to be at work like that. Typing on your keyboard, waiting for them to come over and say it. You know, like.
Right. And what's so fucked up is that even in this. White folks is the reason why we had these goddamn meetings that everybody has to go to watching some 1970, 1980 videos because they never fucking update them, talking about, don't talk about religion, don't talk about sex, don't talk about sexuality, don't bring up gender orientation. Everybody else follows them fucking rules but the white folks. Mm-hmm. And y'all cause the problem. The second somebody says something like Black Lives Matter, you fucking haul off the human resources wanting to get people fired, but I have to sit here and deal with your goddamn bullshit all day.
Yeah, I like, and the thing is, it's the unspoken part of patriotism, but we all know it. And this is why I say racism is so insidious, is that it's not an active thing for most people. Like most isms and privileges and shit, it's not an active thing. White people don't even know that they have erased us from the patriotism experience. Mm-mm. Until you point it out, and even then their first thing is to reject it. So if you go, listen, you think about patriotic songs, it's white people, it's country music, it's these fucking Stars and Stripes big band things, it's, you know, it's literally a national anthem, where every black person winches when we hear, not national anthem, it's a Pledge of Allegiance, where we all wince when they talk about freedom and the land of the free and shit. We're like, for everybody?
Yeah, not for everybody.
That, you know, how long y'all been saying this?
Right.
When we think about the national anthem, where you can't say the second or third verse, you know, because then you get to the racist shit. You know, like, white people refuse to acknowledge that we don't want to stand up under this country's banners of patriotism, because they become bludgeons. They've tried to silence us with patriotism.
Right.
Like, you can't be critical about the flaws of America and your experience here without being called, you know, unpatriotic. And yet at the same time, white people's complaints get to be like, they have a president that literally made his bones by complaining about America, right? That's exactly what he's done. He doesn't talk about loving his country. He doesn't have to, because when you're white, you don't have any obligation. You're considered a patriot by the nature of you being white, because that's what patriotism is. And J.L. Covan had a great episode 2 weeks ago on the Righteous Prick called Righteous Prick Podcast called Patriotism is a New White. And it's a great listen, man, because it's the truth. I mean, I feel like black people have always known this, but it's become more and more evident through these flag protest things that they don't see it as Americans exercising their American rights. Mm-mm. They see it as black people being ungrateful for the country that allows you to exist. Because they feel like we are not owed an existence. We're not owed jobs. We're not owed equal wages for what we do. You know, they never say that about the owners. They don't say, we pay your salary. They don't say shit like that. They don't say, you should just be grateful you're able to own a team that plays a game. No, they skip right past those white men and get to the black people on the field. And then they go, you ungrateful. You play a game. I pay your salary. Bullshit. So, but yeah, sorry that had to happen at work. Kung Fush is right saying, sup y'all, I can't remember if it was this episode or last week when y'all talked about JT, Justin Timberlake. I really need to stop drinking, but I too still jam to the Justify album. The only thing I hate about the JT convo is with a lot of other things centers around how black women feels. The why y'all mad, get over it crowd is never late to tell black women to shut up about something.
Come on.
They showed up when Oh You Sweet Soul Gate happened to shame black women, daring to not just get over the white man leaving a black woman out to dry, to be shamed, dragged, and banned from the Super Bowl for something that really was his fault. Yes, in the long game, Janet is fine, but if black women choose to still be like, fuck that nigga for that, it's not gonna make you like what goes around any less. So as the great philosopher Jay-Z once said, it costs you nothing, pay me no mind. Sorry for the long post, but always keep up the good work. And Rod, we gotta get you back on Ratchet Rambling soon. Love Hip Hop is winding down, dog. It is, yeah. Start seeing ads for Love and Hip Hop New York, which, you know, that's how they do. They
mm-hmm. go from one coast to the other.
Ain't no off season with that shit.
No off season.
But yeah, I agree, man. I honestly, man, I don't even be mad at the initial thing of stuff. It's funny, honestly, to me how little anger I have about certain shit, because I expect it so much. I the bar so low. Like, I didn't get mad when Cam Newton said that female shit. I would venture to say most people, even women, even black women, didn't get that mad for it. It's like, Cam, come on, man.
Right.
Like, that's fucked up, dog. You need to apologize. That was it. That's the initial feeling.
And then he doubled down. That's when everybody got mad.
You know what? Even with the double down, I would say, say you had a 0 to 10 for your emotion scale.
Mm-hmm.
My guess, okay, I can't speak for everybody, even hardcore women that love the NFL. When he said that female shit, it was probably like about a two. Well, it's like, this motherfucker, man, you need to apologize.
Right.
What the fuck? You don't know that's wrong? And this, and one of the reasons is because black men say that shit so much.
Right.
And it's such a struggle, and people are trying to get that shit out of our vocabulary. And honestly, a lot of resistance to it makes no sense, because if someone tells you they don't want to be called something, I don't understand what the fucking disconnect would be.
Right.
Just out of the decency of human being, of being a human being, you would be like, nah. And I know that we understand it, because when white people use racial slurs and shit, black people all the time be like, no, don't call me that. And we're like, it should just, fuck being racist, it should be enough that I told you, don't call me that. Right? Like, thug, or boy, or, like, I'm not even talking nigger, I'm just talking things that we know are placeholders for racial slurs, right? We're like, stop calling people that. Yeah, well, I mean, he is a thug. I mean, look how he plays basketball. And we immediately go, racist white person. So when we call women females, they immediately go, sexist black man, sexist man, then, you know. So I think the initial infraction, and including the off the record double down to her, still somewhere between 0 and 2, 0 and 4, like just very low. Then there's the wave after wave of people defending the dude,
right,
and telling everybody they're overreacting.
And that's where the argument comes.
Keep in mind, you're telling people that they're overreacting. Explain to me what their reaction was. Because their reaction was, he shouldn't have said that, and he should apologize. Oh, y'all overreacting. I don't want him suspended. I don't want his job.
Yeah, those things were never said.
Right? Like, he lost a renewal of a sponsorship. Not a sponsorship. He lost a renewal of a sponsorship for a yogurt company. Yogurt is a top 10 industry for women purchasers. So,
we what the fuck? Hell out of
they gonna have this nigga on the ad next week, like, get Dan and ladies, females. Like, it's just bad business to do it. People got mad at that. Honestly, they were comparing him to Emmett Till.
That's not the same.
Which is a thing that we do now when a black man does some shit to a white woman and a white woman gets upset. We do it's the same as Emmett Till thing. Emmett Till was a little black boy that didn't do anything wrong that ended up dead,
right,
beaten because a lying ass white woman accused him of something he didn't do, and white men killed him. How fucking dare you? How fucking dare you desecrate? Like, maybe everybody got to go to the black museum
and see the
fucking display themselves, so they can be like, that's a ridiculous fucking thing to say. When they did it for LeVar Ball, it was just as fucking ridiculous. Now look, you don't have to fucking agree or whatever with, you don't have to side with these white women or whatever, because I understand these white women ain't perfect and not everybody fucking with them. I get it. But what we don't need to do is then turn around and act like these fucking grown ass black men are just some victims of the white man coming after them when they do fucked up shit. Just cause you black doesn't mean I gotta defend you when you fuck up.
Right.
And don't do the same, and don't do it for me. I don't want it. You know, if I'm wrong on some shit, I'd rather correct myself and come better. I'd rather be improved as a person than to just come out here and be fucking wrong and loud and vocal, and all the people that just like me, even though they know I'm wrong, just running around talking about, yeah, don't do that, you know? Like, I've seen it, and like I said, Cam's comments, I mean, have you heard Cam's press conferences? I'm not that fucking blown. Like, I was like, okay, Cam, come on, man. That's it. That's the level of emotion I have towards Cam Newton, you know? But once you see all these people defending him, throwing out race, going through her tweets, talking about she said some racist shit 3-4 years ago when she was 22, which, hey, cool. Fry her ass too, fine. I don't have no loyalty. I don't know. I never heard of this woman before. But what I do know is she can still be a victim of sexism at work while also having said some racist shit 3 years ago. I mean, are we not allowed to
be bold,
exist in the world where two things are happening at the same time? Like, she, what the worst part is, she apologized for her tweets before Cam even apologized for his remarks. That's so ridiculous to me. Like, it should have been a no-brainer immediate apology. You know how you should have known Cam should apologize right away? Because everybody was apologizing or disavowing his comments immediately. The NFL, which is like sexism central, the fucking you know, his sponsors, Gatorade, Danny, the Panthers, like everyone's releasing statements because they know he was wrong. And now, and then people try to turn it into it's just because he a black man. You know what? You want to know what? There's this fine line between race. There's this fine line between just because you a black man and why black men always the ones doing this stupid shit. And that shit frustrates me because we end up being the last on a lot of these issues, even though we're in the public spotlight. You know the reason they don't go after white quarterbacks for saying stuff like this? Because none of them would have fucking said it.
Correct.
I don't know when this fucking happened, but the white men got the motherfucking the memo of, yeah, don't be, no. Like, and maybe it's because white men have had to deal with integration much longer than us, and they've had all the lessons of being sued and shit. But it's not like they don't get fried or fuck up or do bad shit. They do fucked up shit all the time. But then they get in a press conference and know how to talk. It's not like they better people. Fucking Brett Favre sending his dick to women and shit. Like, they not better people than these black men. They just know how to sell it better. You know, Skip Bayless is never gonna get on TV and fuck up this way. You know, he just won't. We call him controversial. We don't never have a scandal around him like we had with Stephen A. Smith talking about Janae Rice.
Never.
You know, Shannon Sharp, who was super woke on all things race, was on TV blowing it Friday talking about this. It ain't a big deal. And I could see if he called it a B word. I'm like, why can't we pick this lesson up? What is it within us that even though we're in a public spotlight where we see all our peers are not talking like this,
come on,
we refuse to let this go? I don't understand. And it's fucking embarrassing to me as a black man. You know, I don't understand. I wish I don't even get in the defenses of it. You know, Black Sports Online spending all day putting up article after article over her racist tweets and shit, but yet not talking about Cam's comments and admonishing it with the same level of intensity. You know, the whole like, well, y'all should be on her racism as much as you're on his sexism, like that thing where it's like deflect, like let's not talk about this. I don't know, it's just weird. Like, I have to defend a black man if it's a black man versus a white woman thing, and I think a lot of people had that instinct. But my question is, can a black man be wrong? Can't.
Because a black woman show can, for everything that she does, even got them existing.
Because y'all definitely flip on Jermele Hill every other week. Ain't nothing for y'all to let Jermele Hill go. Ain't nothing. She went from hero for Trump to, she retweeted out that article from Very Smart Brothers. Fuck her. Just that fast, out of everybody's avatars. So, I don't know, man. It's super frustrating, man, as a black man to be in the middle of this kind of shit and see how people talk or whatever. Anyway, Miko says, I hope that bar owner that put that Lynch and Kaepernick jerseys together never turns a profit. He's garbage and his patrons probably looked like garbage pail kids. Remember those? Anyways, his voice was so annoying that I went to Yelp so I could look up his bar so I could call and yell at him for being a racist and then hung up. Childish? Yes. But but I feel like it would be semi-satisfying. Anyway, I was deterred by the fact that his place already had a bunch of bad reviews by people calling him racist and calling him awful already. I just smiled as I looked at it and forgot about getting the number or anything. Obviously, the only thing the bad reviews and overall low star rating don't stop him from being a racist asshole, but I do hope it stops people that have never been there from going because they don't want to be associated with that BS. Lastly, I hate how sympathetic it seems the news report was to them. They basically did a story on how this bar just wants to honor vets and now they're being called racist because of a simple racist mistake. Whack. I feel like Missouri is a lost cause. Ever since Ferguson and Black Lives Matter, lots of trash stories come out of Missouri. They're like the Florida of the Midwest. Oops, I've rambled. Thanks for reading and have a great day, y'all. Thank you. Yeah, and also it's funny because that dude, his freedom of speech argument for being a racist is always received way more than the freedom of speech argument for like Kaepernick or for black people talking about race and shit. Like, we all, this country always extending that freedom of speech defense for Milo, right? That kind of shit. Jay Matori says, I love your impromptu review of the Vietnam War. 18 hour actually, of America's, one of America's greatest failures, by the same guy who made the Civil War, complete with a soundtrack by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. Shit, I was in the bag for this from a mile away, and I wasn't disappointed. I'm a closet Ken Burns stan. I know there are some documentary buffs out there who want him canceled, see the World War II controversy, but to me, he's the only white filmmaker who consistently takes black-white relations seriously. His two best films, Unforgivable Blackness, about Jack Johnson and the OG activist actually, and The Central Park Five, whose villain has become the POTUS, couldn't be more relevant today. Yeah, I saw The Central Park Five one.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, they don't like him because he out here, he's spitting the truth. He's not trying to spin it. He's like, look, these artifacts make your own decision. And they're like, fuck you.
Right. Llama Time says, I appreciate this episode. My stepmother, who is the only mother I ever had, is Vietnamese. Her family was refugees of the Vietnam War. She was almost 2 and her sister was about 1 year old when they came over on a boat. So many boats didn't make it because they capsized or were attacked. Yeah. Shit. Yeah, when they talk about the fleeing of Vietnam in the last couple episodes of that documentary, mm-hmm. They talk about like people loading up barges basically to float out to sea. And the barges being so full that they would often either capsize or sink in the middle of the ocean and everybody died.
Woo!
Yeah, but you really have a choice, and America fucked up the leaving so bad with some of the stuff. They had this embassy, like, and they had this ambassador that was like super hardcore. His son had died in the Vietnam War, and he was one of those old school, like, we must do our duty to the last second. And he waited so late to evacuate that they weren't even able to burn all of the classified documents that they were supposed to burn to protect their interests in South Vietnam. So when the Viet Cong took the North Vietnamese took the embassy, they basically had list of all the co-conspirators that were South Vietnamese that helped America. So they just went through family by family, killing people, killing their families. Like, it just gave him a list of people to hunt down and kill, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. It was
what
just
a dumbass.
Yeah, it was just wild, man. It was super wild. And
he
cost
all those people their lives.
Huh?
He cost all those people their lives.
Yeah. And it was after and the thing is, it was after we declared the war over, but it wasn't over. Like, that war went on, like, I want to say, like, another 2 or 3 years, because basically we said it was over, which meant America was pulling out, which meant basically South Vietnamese was going to die. They couldn't win the war without us. We left some equipment and shit over there, but it just wasn't the same. And we weren't doing bombing anymore, all that shit. So once America pulled out, North Vietnam waited a little bit, did some attacks, didn't get any retaliation from American bombs and shit. Which, because they weren't sure about it, because America had been lying about bombing for a long time, being like, we're out, we don't have any interest over there, then bomb, bomb, bomb. So once they didn't get bombed, they just start killing motherfuckers, fucking up villages, all that shit, you know, in towns where they had, like, they would have certain people that were like communist sympathizers or underground communist government and shit. If they had an uprising and it didn't go successfully or something, they all had blown their covers, they killed the civilians, because it was like, we don't need anybody to know which of us was a secret Viet Cong the whole time. So it was like they had a mass grave of like 495 bodies or something, men, ooh, women and children. Like, it was just, it's crazy, the savagery and the brutality of that war.
You want people to fucking forget? Never.
Yeah, but it's like I said, some of the broader strokes of it, you know, the way that people talk about Nixon compared to how he actually was received, remind me a lot of Trump. You know, reminds me a lot of today. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are going to look back in shame on this era of our country and be like, I don't know, he was so unpopular, no one liked him. And it's going to be like, nah, a lot of people liked him. That was the problem.
A lot of people loved him. That was the problem. And just like then, now, a lot of people have died and will continue to die underneath this president.
Right. So Llama Time says, Okay, yeah, I thought about my mama the whole time you guys were talking about the documentary and how her fate could have been different. The effects of the Vietnam War are still so tangible in Vietnam. America deployed Agent Orange and people are still born with horrible birth defects because of Agent Orange. And landmines still kill people. Yep. Yep, I was thinking about that.
Oh, hid ones that people just, you just don't even know they there.
You landmine that area, I mean, then what happens when you want to go live there again? You know? Where you know, who's gonna go get these landmines and unlock, you know, like just some kid playing or some shit.
You just blow up.
Yeah. Bombs that weren't detonated, that just like they hit the earth but they didn't blow up. You know, shit like that.
Ooh.
The Kent University massacre always blows my mind. I researched it during university. I was so fucked up. America's just amazingly fucked up. Yep. And I guess I forgot to put a poll with this one, so no poll. Let's go to the next one, which is Chicken CSI. No comments, but we did have a poll. And it was, we got two comments. It was, do you think any actions will be taken, on gun control after the latest incident? No, 94.44%. So basically 95% of our audience says no, nothing's gonna change. 4% says yes, and 2% say maybe. Now that I've heard that they're thinking about banning those stocks or whatever that makes your weapon automatic, like the thing that can take a semi-automatic weapon, you put it on there and then it makes your weapon an automatic weapon, so it sprays like a machine gun. That's the big thing. I bet they won't even finish that.
They just putting out up to the table for now, but it'll never come. They'll never vote on it.
Mm-hmm. Or just, if they do, public will by that time, it'll have eroded. We'll be a couple months away from these people dying.
And they purposely drag
people won't care feet, as much. Right. Yeah. And then they'll let it go. American public won't. They won't go to the polls and get these people out of office. None of that'll happen. Tanya G says, no, two classrooms of children, mostly white, were killed, and we said, nah, guns are more important. I'm at a point where I just don't think anything will make us regulate guns. The NRA wants people to have as many guns and bullets as possible, and paranoid bigots think they have to get ready for the revolution. The world we are passing on our children gets worse at every turn.
Right. I think I seen I forgot who did the article, but they did an article, and they said, like, 3% of the country owns most of the guns, and they said, like, for most people, the average person in that 3% has like 17 guns average, so a lot of them have a lot more. And you know, there's variations of, you know, people outside of that group that have guns, but that goes to show you that it's a very small percentage that got a lot of guns. Y'all people underestimate, militias are real, like, and they out here in the middle of Timbuktu, no fucking where, in these country fields and shit like that. Like, yeah, that shit is real.
And that's probably legal registered guns, though.
Right It's not the not legal one, but yeah, these are ones that are registered. Yes.
Yeah, so who knows how you even track. I mean, because they don't see, the thing is, we don't know that much about guns and gun violence in our country, because it's an effort to make sure that we can't even study it.
No, they have a law that doesn't allow the CDC to actually go in and study guns and how many people get shot and how many people get killed and how many people affected. And you know how the CDC comes and they be like, well, here's a measles outbreak, here's a smallpox outbreak, you know, here's a such and such outbreak. This is how you know that people in these fucking rich ass areas aren't vaccinating their kids, because you have a fucking outbreak and they got to come in and investigate. Guns need to be done like this too, but they will never allow it, because once they do, people be like, oh shit, people are dying. Yes, they are, and they're dying at a lot higher rates than you think.
Book Lashue Bay says, hell to the no. If a bunch of white children can get killed and no charges are made, then nothing can really convince politicians and lobbyists that we need stricter gun control laws. Maybe if a group of black men killed a bunch of white children, but hell, they didn't do anything with the DC sniper. You know, yeah, the only thing they would do then is pass laws that keep black people from having guns. They did the same thing with the Black Panthers.
But overall,
Black Panthers talked about arming yourself in self-defense, and then they passed a bunch of laws to ban guns directly where the Black Panthers lived.
Right.
All right, let's see. We got episode 1536, Get Wood with White News. We had Jess Wood on from the Get Wood podcast. Had a good time, good conversation. Yes. Catching up with an old friend, man.
All right.
We got some comments. Koki Negra says, oh my god, that segment on Being an older woman with no kids, I felt that. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, so enjoyed your podcast today with Jess Wood. I'm going to have to check her podcast out and maybe stand up if she's ever in the New York area. I had to laugh at the idea of people getting mad at Jessica because she was checking to see if any of her friends were hurt in the Las Vegas shooting. And their response was like, there's no black people at no country music festival. When I first heard about the shooting, I wasn't sure what race the shooter was. The MO was strictly angry white guy. But then I thought maybe it was a black man or a terrorist because country music festival would be white gun enthusiasts. I was a little shocked the first time around when it was a white shooter. I said, but these are your people. Does this make me a terrible person? LOL, fuck it. Guess who's our president? I can't possibly be as terrible as him. Thanks as always for getting a smile out of me, even under bad circumstances. Sincerely, Brooklyn Shoe Babe. P.S. I absolutely agree with the CBS executive. She shouldn't have said it so publicly, but I agree. However, when our leader can say the most horrific things like grabbing by the pussy and still get and keep a job, is it fair for people to get fired for saying what they believe, no matter how vile? Pause. I don't believe that, but I can see people making a case for it. Yeah, your ass gotta still get fired. Just because these white people ain't had no standards for president don't mean that I'm going to need everybody to be gainfully employed while being a bigot. But in her case, she just really shouldn't have said it out loud. I don't even know what to say. You're a legal executive. Come on,
the whole thing is worse, dog.
Come on, man, you can't even say that at Target. Come on, guys,
right?
That, I mean,
you
I'm
can't
not
say that at McDonald's,
and it's right afterwards, so people scrolling online looking for something to be mad about. It's not even worth it saying it.
Keep them thoughts to yourself, baby.
She'll be fine probably because I believe she's a white woman legal executive, so she'll pop up somewhere else.
Nobody ever gets canceled.
Lauren in Pittsburgh says Dildo Daggins is the Hobbit neck and back again. Dildo Daggins in The Hobbit neck and back again. Lauren in Pittsburgh. T says Hillary Clinton is absolutely the patron saint of white women. Yeah, that's true. I said a long time ago that she was their Beyonce. Mm. And I don't think I'm sticking with that.
Oh, she is.
I don't think anything's changed. Yeah, I don't think anything's changed. By the way, I'm not saying that out of shade. I don't hate Hillary or hate.
No.
But that is that, you know. But you know what? That 53%. I don't know. Maybe I need to take it back. Maybe Taylor Swift is. I don't know. I have to think about this, guys. That's controversial
now.
I thought she was at the time. But then that 53%, y'all. Now I don't feel too comfortable saying she the patron saint of white women. You know? I feel like a lot of white women just secretly didn't fuck with her. Like, oh, they were happy with her being in a certain lane, but then she tried to step out of that lane into presidency and they real feelings came out, you know. And then they were like, let's go march with the pussy hats and then pretend like this didn't happen. Justin says the cover to Hey Y'all was the worst. I'm not as repulsed as others are with the covers, but this was bad. I love when y'all write in just to say that. That's hilarious. Miss 1KO says most jobs are designed to beat the hopes and dreams out of people. Queen Karen. And not just that job, life. Pastor Rod. Listen, truer words have never been spoken. I'm typing this at work trying to hold on. I sung that in the cadence of In Vogue. To a few millimeters of my soul, that is the struggle. I had to take a smoke, coffee, internet, break the cosign and say how life and work try to hold you down and cause anxiety and depression. Kindness is Miss 1KO. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
D. Ramsey says, Jess is invited to all the cookouts, homegoings, and other celebrations. Now listen, guys, okay? Do not write us when she says something problematic in 3 years and be like, y'all let her come to the cookout. Well, number one, I'm not going to the cookout. So I'm inviting a whole lot of white people and not going because I'm staying home. So
I don't think I worry about Jess.
Number two, this is D. Ramsey, PH Dunn, and invited Jess to the cookout. I know some of y'all get really uptight about the hypothetical cookout. So when y'all have the imaginary cookout that's never supposed to happen, y'all be mad at Ramsey, PH Dunn, okay? EVE says the title Dame is granted by the Queen to a woman who is awarded the Dame Commander of the Most Excellent Order, or DBE, which is basically the equivalent of a man being knighted. That's the KBE. It's basically an honorific title that says you've been given the highest honor by the Queen. A notable American dame who has been granted the honor is Angelina Jolie, who can call herself Dame Angelina if she wanted to. I don't know why I know this. Maybe because I like mayo and cheese. I know this stuff by osmosis. Did not know that.
thank you for informing us.
And who did y'all side with on the white woman beef? Kim Cattrall or Sarah Jessica Parker? 79% said Kim Cattrall. So that means only 21% think Sarah Jessica Parker was in the right. Mm. So I guess we don't think Kim is a diva then. We had episode 1537, which is the last one of the week. And it was Megyn Kelly is bad at this. We discussed her terrible show. It's terrible. We got some comments. Miss Smart says, as I was listening to this episode, the part I missed during the live broadcast, I scrolled through Facebook at the very moment, and y'all were talking about the racist loons infiltrating Facebook. Maybe they already have, which is why Facebook censorship seems to hit members of marginalized groups the hardest. Still scrolling, an article about Seattle's white nationalists came up. It's on thestranger.com. It was, we snuck into the Seattle super secret white nationalist convention. It's long, but the related point is this. According to my observations, the standard Seattle Nazi is a white male under 30 who either works in the tech industry or is going to school to work in the tech industry. You also a coder? Do you mind if I send you something I've been working on? I heard that more than once. That makes sense. We get our information through tech. If they can control technology, they can control the information and the people. Y'all see the KUN conspiracy? You know what? I can, that might be true. I mean, yeah. You see some of the things that leak out in these articles, about, you know, that Google document thing and the support that dude had for basically being anti-diversity and anti-all that shit, woman and stuff. Like, yeah, I can imagine that. Cause I mean, think about the biggest, most bigoted movement before the alt-right was what? Gamergate. A bunch of dudes that were claiming it was about video games when they were really about bigotry and sexism and all that shit. So yeah, I absolutely, and those people went, that Milo came from Gamergate, like riding that wave, you know? So yeah, I absolutely can believe that. And that may explain a lot about Facebook and social media and how we're treated in addition to their ineptitude of white people that simply are white men and they run these platforms and they own these platforms. So they see things like threats, to people that are black, and they see harassment of black people as freedom of speech issues.
Right.
But at the same time, ban black people, when they end up putting in the algorithms to get, harassment off their platform, they end up by starting by protecting white people first. So then the platform becomes, saying the word white people is as racist as when people say the words black people and say something disparaging. Like that, they immediately start there, because that would make sense. It could just be not an oversight, but a purposeful thing, and then an oversight by the people that are in charge, you know? But yeah, we'll get into more of this tomorrow when we do our white people news, because there's a great BuzzFeed piece on Milo and shit, and I gotta talk about it. Stephanie Williams says, child, Megyn Kelly, yes, I fucking spelled her name wrong. It's just the worst part of the 53%. She needs to sit her ass down somewhere. NBC knew what it was doing, so they aren't going to back down now. They made their bed. With regards to Juno's homophobic joke, I was listening and just tilted my head to the side because I honestly didn't even remember that joke. I can't even count the number of times I've seen that movie. It's just honestly breezed right past me. Wow. Now that I know, I pay more attention to older movies. You know what I called that? Growth.
Go ahead on.
That's from Kelly, from Insecure. Anonymous says, Karen, have you considered doing a premium show that's just Karen drags Megyn Kelly every week? Because I loved your determination for bringing up this tea and receipts in this episode. Loved it. You did. She kept being like, well, what about this link? Well, check this link.
Because I'll be disconnected. I'll be at work. I'll be like, well, I didn't hear nothing.
I was trying to move on. She's like, mm-mm. Dana says, Karen, have you considered doing a premium show so that's what Dana says. She just posted it twice. EVE says, I'm shaking my head at all the men and the pick me crew who are defending Cam's trash ass comment. I just like to put it out there that this isn't the first time he discredited a female reporter. This happened to a friend of mine who is black, but no one said anything then because surprise, surprise, no one stands up for black women except other black women. Oh, I hadn't even heard about that. When did he do this? Was this in college or something? Man, give us some details on that.
Right.
But I think his comment just underlines how trash men are anyway. As a blur, I constantly have to defend my nerdiness to men who don't think I know what I'm talking about. Just the other day in the grocery store, I was wearing my Transformers shirt with the Decepticon symbol on it, and the cashier was this teenage kid who says, "You know those are the bad guys, right?" To which I reply, "Yes, I know, because my husband has a shirt with the Autobot symbol." Now, he could have left it at that, but then he said, "Oh, so you know a little something about Transformers," in a really condescending manner. So I said, "Little boy, I've been watching Transformers before you even born. I forgot more stuff about them than you currently know, and I still know more." That shut him up. All that to say, as women, we constantly have to prove ourselves to men, even the most mundane of subjects, which is probably why what Cam said struck a nerve with so many women. P.S. Fuck Megyn Kelly. Yeah, EVE, we did Balls Deep Sports yesterday. We had Audrey, who's Justin's friend, on the show, a black woman. And so she was on here with us, and you know, it was a great person to have on the show. She was a great person to have on the show because we talked about Cam's comments, and you know, it does extend beyond sports. Mm-hmm. It extends a lot of stuff. Here's the thing that, and I hope nobody listening to this is out here like in the streets defending Cam on this, because it really does. He's wrong. He apologized. It's literally over. The only fight being had is by people that refuse to admit that the dude was wrong. Other than that, it's like he'll be playing football on Sunday and everything's gonna be fine again, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. If you look at the point that people are trying to make that are defending Cam, their point is basically very simple. They want it to be okay to laugh at the idea of a woman in a male-dominated field doing a good job.
Right.
That's it. It ain't even deeper than that. They just want it to be okay to laugh at, to which I say, you same motherfuckers would have flipped your motherfucking minds if anybody did that with some black shit. All these motherfuckers would have flipped their, if Tom Brady were doing a press conference and a black man asked a question about routes and he said, "I just find it funny that a boy like you would," y'all got mad at Conor McGregor for saying "boy" to Floyd Mayweather and spent weeks debating the nuance of that, and you didn't even care that Floyd Mayweather is a fucking woman abuser. You didn't even bring it up. That he's a womanizer, that he said racist shit, that he's a Trump supporter. You didn't even bring it up for weeks, to the tune of buying his fight, even to making it about black versus white. You did that. I watched you niggas do that. So you do understand the other side of this when you feel like it. They just don't feel like extending that to women. That's all. So yeah, it was very disappointing in people. Kung Fucha says Megyn Kelly somehow managed to out white woman being a mediocre white woman. She's like the NASA, the nasal E of white women.
Aww.
Lama Lama Time says, "Go to hell, Megan. Cam, you can join her." And the poll was, will Megyn Kelly's morning show be canceled? Yes, mm-hmm. It's never going to happen. Or no, she just has to work out the kinks. 83% think the show will be canceled. I'm surprised. I really thought it wouldn't be. But only 17% think it won't be canceled. And maybe I'm wrong.
They like, invested too much money in her.
I can see them moving her, though.
Right.
So, I mean, that would be canceling the show, technically.
Okay.
Like,
okay,
Megyn Kelly in the morning isn't working. Let's move.
I can see them throwing her a co-host, too.
Yeah, I can see them making some moves. I don't think it's over that easy, but mm-hmm. I can see them making some moves. All right, let me play voicemails real quick. We got a couple of those, I think.
Right. We don't know.
Yeah, okay. We got one from Tuesday. Let's see if we can play this.
Hi, Rod and Karen. This is Nick from New Jersey. Just listening to the show from Monday, and you know, Karen's point about servers and tablets is a good idea. I've seen it in very few examples, and usually it's a more of a high-end restaurant that probably builds in that cost. Although I'll be honest, places I've seen it, the few times I've seen it, quality of food wasn't great, but that's not necessarily connected. Anyway, what occurred to me this morning as I'm listening to your show was just that, you know, it's not necessarily the hardware, but it might just be an application that a developer could use that any restaurant could purchase. You know, for example, at my daughter's daycare, we use an app that just allows for pictures of students to be uploaded and shared with families. You know, if an app was developed that waiters or servers, rather, could use on, say, a smartphone, this way the hardware is owned by the staff themselves, and all you're really paying into is a subscription for an application that the restaurant would pay into, that might actually potentially work. But I love the idea, and I think restaurants or some app developers should really jump on that. So hopefully, you know, to many people listening to the show, maybe that's an opportunity for someone to build something from that. Anyway, love the show as always, and hope all is well. Bye.
Bye, baby. Thank you. That's smart.
You smart, man.
Somebody gonna make a killing because, you know, most people have phones. You could like just use your phone and just download the app. That way you ain't got to buy all these pads and shit.
That's fucking brilliant. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's just fucking brilliant. I don't even have anything else to add to that. That's brilliant, brother. We also got, I got in the mail a gift from listener. Shit. Says a gift for you, Rod. Hi, Rod and Karen. Happy belated birthday, Rod. I hope you two like the movie. Remember, you mentioned that you never had a chance to watch it. It's crazy seeing Heath go from Enos to the Joker. Heath Ledger was a beast. Love the show. It's Brokeback Mountain. I talked about this with Bossy when we did our Moonlight review.
Okay.
And I remember saying, I never saw it. Sadly, I don't know. Because I really just like, this looks too white.
You know me, that was my philosophy, and I checked out
because I was like, I was interested in the story of Moonlight, and I knew that it was about a gay dude and all that shit, but I was just interested. I saw all that beautiful blackness in the trailer, and I just said, I have to see this. You know, look how good these people look, look how much quality and respect has been put into the story. But I just remember when Brokeback Mountain came out, I just felt like, I don't know, in my mind, it's like two white dudes in cowboy hats and shit, and I was like, all right, this looks super, super white.
That was me.
I'm going to just check out, but since you bought it for me, I'll watch it. I'll make sure to watch it. Probably try to live tweet it or something, guys.
Oh, that ought to be fun.
We'll see. TBGWT is a lifesaver. We got some emails, and Karen, let me know when we get to 120 and I'll switch over.
Okay.
Hi, Queen Karen and Rod. While babysitting my friend's 3-year-old son who was sick and cranky, he watched cartoons on YouTube. He didn't want to eat or drink and was basically irritable until he played that damn Sour Grapes clip from Teen Titans. I only knew that clip from TBGWT, but I was able to sing along, did a little silly dance for him, and that totally lifted his spirits.
Aww.
We both cranked up, sang along 3 more times, and I then convinced him to eat a piece of chicken and drink some juice. I already love the show and being premium, but you all made babysitting a sick kid a whole lot easier. Thank you. Dropping a little extra in the collection plate this week. Thanks, Simone.
Oh, I'm glad, honey. That'll lift anybody's spirit up.
Yeah, listen, Teen Titans is the motherfucking truth, guys.
What was that thing they did last night that was hilarious with that rap?
Catching Villains with Beast Boy featuring Silky.
Yes!
You know what, guys? I'm gonna try to play it. I got a few minutes before we switch over.
That shit was the best.
I'll put it on screen.
And it came out of nowhere, y'all.
It was on, see, they did an episode called TV Night 2. Which is kind of like Rick and Morty's interdimensional cable, where they just, it's Batman and Commissioner Gordon having a sleepover and they watching TV. And so it's just a bunch of skits. And this one was basically, now this is recorded from a TV, like not the actual, this isn't the source. But it's Beast Boy singing to, Raven. Shout out to Raven. It's Beast Boy singing to Raven, about, basically trying to get with her. So here you go. It's so good.
We ain't gotta keep this on the low. Don't do it fast, we can take it slow. Show you things that you ain't seen before. Before you go, you ought to know. I won't be catching villains. Pussy girl, you catching villains. Now we pull in a new man, she just couldn't wait to get out.
Don't do it fast, we can take it slow. Show you things that you ain't seen before. Before you go, you ought to know. I'll let you get to like months, making pay or dinero. Getting crazy, getting freaky on the beat. You don't believe me, I'm amazing. I'm a tiki torch this beat and get it flaming. Bugging's what I do when I'm paying full for entertainment. Y'all be loving what I do, I act a fool and get my payment. So watch me ride the beat like I'm at a rodeo. Fucking Bronco going gonzo, but he can't throw me though. I'm nice and sweet like ice cream, I like when people like me. If you spite me, you might see a side that's really feisty. Making stacks and taking racks, I'm rigging up the dolo. The Federal Reserve, that's their premier, even Momo. It ain't about the money, it's just about the funny. I love the booger, I love it, and get hustle my honey. Straight bugging.
And that last part was Silky, which is, what's the name? Fire,
Starfire's little pet.
Pet,
and,
yeah.
And the funny part.
And it never talks.
Yes, and that was so hilarious.
It was rapping.
That was hilarious, cause it came out of nowhere, and you like, everybody know this nigga don't talk, and when he does, this shit don't make no sense.
Yeah, they do shit like that, like every episode. I see we're at the break. I'm about to move to the next session, guys.
No problem.
But they do stuff like that every episode, and it's yeah, so good.
And their songs are so good, and it be songs about food. Y'all, they even have songs about pyramid schemes, like this, yeah.
Yeah,
songs about pies. Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows.
I'm making money. That pyramid scheme money.
Yes!
Yeah, that's my show, man. It's funny, man. I watch that show. I don't know how people hate it. I don't know.
Right, that show is the
You don't got no soul if you hate that show, dog. You just not a good person. I don't know how you hate that show. All right, let me get into.
And you will always bust out laughing because a lot of shit is never expected, and they do. Even though it's quote unquote kids, they have like adult comedy. Because mm-hmm. I think one time Raven was like showing her legs or something like that. And then they cut to Beast Boy and Cyborg, and he was holding up a steak and beating it, like beating meat, and like only adults will understand the concept right. of that joke.
Yeah, they have a lot of adult jokes too. Yeah, it's so good, man. This one is an email we got from Veggie Vixen, where she got her new shirt and she wanted to show it off, and I wanted to make sure that it was okay to show it to you guys, so she said it was fine. But she got her new the Blackout Tip shirt, and I'll try to make it the show art.
Yes, that is flames. All that hair, baby, hair right. goes. Oh, that's beautiful.
So I don't know which of those pictures we should use. I love the one with the fro. With you see the full fro.
Yes,
but she's looking down.
I like that one the best
with the shirt.
Yes,
like, but
and I'm gonna tell y'all right now,
people looking fly in their gear.
Ain't that old? I mean, we literally are getting. Shirt pictures and mug pictures, and I've been getting my life telephone covers mm-hmm. and I am so glad you guys are getting your stuff, you're representing your stuff, you're wearing your stuff. Shout out to Ashanti, shout yeah, out
not that Ashanti yes. sent us a picture. She was at New York Comic Con in her shirt, like it's so dope. Someone sent us a picture where they were in that hoodie and said, I walked down the street and another Blackout Tips fan came over to me, like it's super dope, man.
Mm-hmm. Is that Teespring?
Yeah, Teespring store. I'll put it in the show notes for you guys.
Get your gear, y'all.
Yeah, if you're listening to the podcast on the app, I've put it in the show notes several times, just scroll to the bottom. Next, Miss Martikins says, episode 1536, get wood, not a mother over 50 comments. Hey, Ryder, Karen, the question that makes my uterus roll her neck. Don't you have kids? No. Only acceptable response to me. You hungry, want something to eat, don't ask me any more questions. Don't wait for me for any more information. Now on to the ridiculous comments. Listen. Why do people want to impose their perception on other people's state of parenthood?
Right.
Why are these people judging? Why are they trying to share misery? I have some responses to those comments. One, I was recently reading about womb transfers. Response. Have you read about brain matter transfers? where they transfer the ability to shut the fuck up into people who talk too damn much. That's very good. Two, Janet Jackson has a baby at 50. Response, how old are you? Wait for an answer. Then repeat their name. Announced that they can have these hands at whatever age they are. So Janet Jackson had a baby at 50. Well, Jermaine, you can have these hands at 10. I don't give a fuck. Stop asking my question.
Right.
Number three, look on the bright side. It's about attitude. Be positive. Response, I'm about to show you the bright side of these hands. Number five, you ever think of adoption? Response, no. Did your parents tell you about what, when they thought about letting you go to a better home so that you could have been adopted and raised by a family of people who could have taught you not to say dumb shit? Number five, you don't know what exhaustion is. Response, you're right. In fact, I'm going to take a nap right now. Maybe I'll nap on behalf of all those tired infant parents. Six, so what was wrong with you? Response, I kept letting myself get in conversations with stupid people. I kid about giving people these hands. I'm not on the money team. However, you never know the strength of a frustrated womb may give a lady. You don't have to be over 50 to be tired of people talking to you about why you don't have kids. As an adoptee, but people throwing adoption out there isn't like it isn't complex, like it isn't going to the pound, like it's going to the pound or something. It doesn't cost a grip these days.
It's expensive.
Because back in the day, it did not. I heard some of these, and I always wondered, did you consider staying quiet? If so, why didn't you? My personal fave was one day I was doing something to decrease my debt, and my friend responded, how can you have debt or any money issues? You don't have children. Nothing else can cause debt.
Yeah, people get so stupid.
And people who don't have don't have kids don't pay more taxes or to pay for schools and for other people who do. Yikes. It's really about the intrusiveness that people have about women's bodies, about women, period. Yes, Rod, call folks dames. FYI, it's like being knighted for women. The most excellent order of British Empire is a British order of chivalry, rewarding contributions to the arts and the sciences, works with charitable welfare organizations and public service outside of the civil service. P.S. That Jess lady with the Jewish mother who only spoke Spanish, who did not like that she was white, that confused and entertained me, is hilarious. Anyway, love the show, Miss 1KO. Check out our podcast, Get Wood. It's out there.
Yes, Jess is the best, and I agree. And it's one of the things where I realize everybody think they're exception to the rules when they ask you about this. Like, mm-hmm. They think me asking you demands an explanation, when in reality, you just should not ask. You know, but people don't want to not ask. They feel like they have the right and they are obligated to ask. They were like, well, I don't mean no harm when I ask. Okay, but the other five people that asked me today, and the other 20 people that asked me today, and the other 100 people that asked me over the course of the year, it's like, to you, it's just you as an individual, but to that person, they're responding to the collectiveness of people responding. And a lot of times people get mad when they get an attitude, but it was like, why do you feel like you must know? What, like what's in you that feels like you need to intrude? Because the thing is, people don't think it's an intrusive question, and that's the problem. We have a society that don't think that asking a woman about when she's going to have children is intrusive, but it actually is. You don't know what's happening, what's going on in her life, why she can't have kids or may have decided not to have kids. And if she goes and breaks down into tears and tell you her long, sad life story, if this happened to her, you're going to feel like the asshole, like, I never should have asked.
Right. Or if she says something rude to you, quote unquote, then it's her fault.
Right. It's her fault for being like, motherfucker, you shouldn't ask, you know. And I've seen on social media where some people say they've been cussed out enough where they don't ask no more. And in my mind, I'm like, well, good, you shouldn't have asked in the first place.
Jay Fool writes in, what up, Rod and Karen? Sorry in advance, this email might get long. Vegas shooting. I think he lives out that way. As some of the listeners might know, I live in Las Vegas. At least, yeah, he does. Okay. At least for the next few days, I do. More on that later. But when I first moved out here, one of the first things I noticed was a number of Confederate flags, even though Nevada was a Union state, and the number of goddamn guns. People carry guns everywhere. It's so bad that I immediately get tense when I see somebody's daddy with a cell phone clipped to his belt. Since the shooting, it's been a disasterbation overload. Locally, I happen to live in the Vegas PD headquarters, by the Vegas PD headquarters and the medical district. Police lights and media vans everywhere. So I've been trying to withdraw from the situation, but while I was avoiding the news, I decided to look up Nevada's gun laws. My niggas, it might as well be the Wild Wild West out here. Here are a few highlights. One, you don't need a permit to buy a gun, nor are you required to get a license to register a firearm. There's no limit on the number of guns a person can buy at one time either. Two, carry an unconcealed firearm in public is legal. It's legal to own an assault weapon and large capacity magazines for ammunition. There's no mandated waiting period before buying a gun. You can bring a gun to a polling place, to a casino, and to a bar. So glad to be moving out of the state in a few days. One more thing on this gun shit. Tuesday, I was terrified that I would get shot. I was coming out of the movies where there was some white guys in military gear walking around the parking lot. The jackets were fairly long, so I couldn't see their waistbands, but white niggas in camouflage in public definitely make you feel like they would be carrying. One of the guys was putting something in his passenger seat, and it just happens I was parked right next to my car. It was parked right next to my car. I couldn't get in my car until he moved, so I purposely stood far away on the other side of the car just in case I startled him. Sure enough, as soon as he closed the passenger door and looked up, my presence startled him. Thank God he just chuckled and apologized for taking so long, but I'm certain I was the person most afraid in that scenario. Now about my move, I'm moving to LA to start a new job. I have you guys partly to thank. I remember back when Rod got laid off before being premium, thinking, damn, these corporations ain't loyal. That was a reminder to me to never sacrifice my happiness for a company, and that will definitely replace my ass in a heartbeat if it was convenient for them. It just so happens that around the Follow Your Dreams feedback episode, I confronted my manager about a job posting for a position that my former boss promoted me to before our COO vetoed it a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I asked him why he never mentioned that he was bringing in an outsider to fill the role, if he was considering me or my teammate for the position. She's more senior than me, so I felt she needed to be first in line. Dude doesn't respond for a few days, and it just so happens that the day he responded was the same day my new gig accepted my counter job offer. My manager basically tells me that I'm not being considered for the role and that I'm never getting promoted. Imagine how big I was smiling as I informed him that I was resigning. He asked me why I let the chopper spray. By the end, when he asked me why I let the chopper spray, or as Karen said, spray the chopper! By the end, all he had to say was, did we not give you enough money? He really thought he could get me to stay in a dead-end job just by throwing a few dollars at me. And here's the kicker. Even with his pacifying raises, I was still making 40K less than what I would have had the CEO not veto my promotion.
Woo!
Tomorrow is my last day, writing this on Thursday, and I'm walking out like Angela Bassett and waiting to exhale.
Come on.
I know this was a Ta-Nehisi Coates length of email. Thanks for reading. Jay Fool. Thanks, man. Good luck in the new gig in LA, man. Congratulations on getting the fuck out of there.
Yeah, a lot of jobs think they do that by quote unquote tricking you, trying to counter offer and shit like that. But it's like, nigga, you told me this was a dead end job. Why the fuck would I stay? And guess what? If I hadn't said I was leaving, would you even have cared? Would you even have offered me more money? Mm-hmm. So that shows you this is a problem from the beginning.
Kimberly writes in, Falcons Diva. Gift coming in the mail. Hi, Ryan and Karen. Just want to tell you about some product that I'm sending you. It's coming from a company in Charlotte, Exora Botanical Beauty. I'm not sure if you tried it before, but Exora was created by a black woman, and I've been using her products for years. This year, she introduced me to Shimmering Oil. As soon as I heard it, tried it, I wanted Karen to have some for her trip to Jamaica.
Ah, shit, I'm be shimmering.
Karen, this oil will make your body glisten while protecting you from the sun. The sparkles tend to settle, so just give it a good shake. The Exora body butters are my first love, so I wanted you to have some too. But I couldn't just send Karen a gift so close to Rod's birthday. Rod, I hope you enjoy the selections from her mail line. As a side note, am I gonna be shimmering too? As a side note,
oh, we all gonna be shimmering. I'm dry too, honey, so my skin will suck that shit right on up.
Mm-hmm. As a side note, you may have heard of Mercedes, the owner. She already has a degree in chemical engineering. Damn. She had a GoFundMe to help pay for her esthetician school. And one day, Chrissy Teigen saw it on Twitter and paid the entire amount. I think she graduates this weekend.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Pay it forward.
I can't hate on Chrissy Teigen, man. I tried. I wanted to join in the people that was hating, but I like her. I don't know. I'm sorry, y'all. I let you down, but Chrissy Teigen seemed like a really cool person, and I would like to be her friend. Anyway, I hope you enjoy your products. Just a small token of my appreciation to you for all you do. Love, Falcons Diva. Thank you.
Thank you.
Miss Martikins writes in again. Episode 1537, Megan Kaylee makes me feel better about my job performance. females be femaling and Cam be camming. I listened to Cam and I thought, well, he said it's funny, as in it tickles me, as in I am amused. I would also think that he actually think that he may like it, almost like a fetish, like, wow, you're a girl and you know what routes are. Wow, I'm easily impressed because I don't expect a woman to know these things because this is such a male dominated space. That is how I took it. I know a few athletes and ex-military dudes who refer to women as females, matter of factly, and use it interchangeably with woman. I don't like it, and because I have never liked it, even as a child, I paid close attention, and it's always in place of bitch. It does always signify a lack of maturity, emotional maturity. It also always diminishing, though, in my opinion. Just like calling grown women girl way more than calling men boys, but we use boyfriend for adults. I will say the word bitch has replaced women in a lot of usage. These things send me into a tizzy because of these people who use females are the same dumpster dwellers who say it's not the guns, it's the people, are folks that support y'all's man. Makes me so sick. How can you have your child shot and then say it's not the guns is beyond me. Why can't it be the people and the guns? Why can't we address the human aspect and the tools used for killing? These trash ass Christians make me sick. 3 clap emojis. So make me sick. Well, let me go back to the Cam thing real quick too, though. One of the things about it that is funny is, even if he would have just found it funny, as in I can't believe a woman knows that, da da da, he's at work
and it's still problematic.
There's no industry where we would allow that, and everybody knows it. Like, if you were at your job and the fucking boss was, and you asked the boss a good question in a meeting and he went, I just think it's funny that a female knows about weather derivatives. Like, it's insulting. There's no other way to do it. Like I said, I look at these things through the prism of race because it's a great comparison. And I think of how I would feel if someone singled me out and said it was funny that I was good at my job because I'm black. And not to mention, when he did double down, he basically accused her of lying. Like, you're lying. You couldn't possibly know that. And then he's like, well, I guess I should have said reporters. Like, none of y'all know this shit. Just me, you know? So it's just interesting. Cause it's like, well, if we don't know, how come you never had this interaction with a man? Like, there's a lot of men in these rooms that ask these questions, and none of them ever, you never laugh in their face and go, I'm just surprised that you think you know what the fuck you talking about. You know?
Yep.
I was talking to my dear friend who I love to pieces, and I was like, these political Christians only care about two things, LGBTQIA rights and abortion, nothing else. This was brought on by the whole Tina Campbell ridiculousness. Yeah, we're gonna talk about that tomorrow too. Talking about our commonality with the candidate. Yeah, she said she voted for Trump because of her Christian values, and I'm like, which ones? How is that not the follow-up question? The whole I don't like either candidate and acting like they were starting out on equal when they were not. Even look at Christ-like traits like grace, mercy, humility, kindness, and Trump has never exhibited any of these. I mean, at the bare minimum, having home training and knowing how to act in public and setting an example of decorum. I mean, well, he didn't learn that from 2 Corinthians. Corinthians 2, Electric Boogaloo, was not written yet when he got on it. Come on, how about Hillary is a woman who was married to a man who cheated repeatedly, forgave him, and stayed? Couldn't you find commonality in that? Oh, Tina. Yes, she perseveres in her career that she is also in. I call bullshit. Why are people in denial of this? My friend is sickened by them pushing Trump on all the religious TV shows. I'm saying they are only tapping into what white people's fears are, and their need to oppress, and in their inherent entitlement they always have. Why do some of us want to give people a chance who would never give us a chance? Sorry, this email is long, all over the place. I'm gonna wrap this up. Okay, let me tell you something though. I agree with you, man, and it's really sick that, you know, you have like the 700 Club and all these places where they actually, you know, actively have they campaign for Trump. You know, they tell you you're not a good Christian unless Trump you vote for Trump. It's trash. Also, I was wondering you and Karen take on this whole very smart brothers, black men are the white men of the black community thing. I don't know if you covered it elsewhere. I do listen daily to all the free content, but it just seemed like something up your alley. I'm pretty sure we talked about it. when he put the article out, and then I know we talked about it when I said it on Twitter.
Yeah, because your name was in the article.
Yeah, yeah, I'm linked in the article. So I don't know, maybe you're kind of newer to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for, oh wait, I'm sorry, you did want our take on it. I agree with it mostly. The only issue I really had with the article is I felt like it didn't go far enough, because I think you have to bring up, black men, not just toward our treat, not, it's not just straight black men's treatment of black women that it makes us the quote unquote white people of black people. That's not the point. And I think once, when you make it just that myopic, you end up, sort of proving the point, with our own lenses of, privilege, that we are not looking at the entire community as a whole. 'Cause I didn't say that to covet, any goodwill from just from black women and shit. Like, it, I just look at how we exercise our male privilege in the areas where we do have it. This is not to say we are the most privileged people. This is not to say we have systemic privilege. This is not like, this isn't, that's not what I'm trying to say in, as far as owning systems, right? But we do benefit from the patriarchy that is installed for white men. So sometimes we get this, it rubs off on us. There's a reason that the people that walk up in Donald Trump's offices are Steve Harvey's and your Kanye West and your Ray Lewis's and your like there's a reason that there's not 27 Omarosas walking up in there, but there's probably been 10 black men that walked up in there, right? And Omarosa got fired, right? I think you have to bring up our treatment of LGBTQIA people, because that's a big part of it. You know, trans women of color are killed at such a high rate, and often their killers are black men. You know, this is not to say black men are genetically hyper violent. This is not to say that black men are culturally predisposed to violence or any of that shit. The deeper point in all of this is that the value of black life is so little in this country that people treat that life in the way that society tells them to treat it. That's the bigger message in all this, and it always gets lost because people going to get so fucking offended at the mere mention of this concept. But it's not that harsh of a concept to understand. Like, we, because also black men kill black men at a high rate. But why is that? It's because society tells us our lives are worthless. They tell us our women's lives are worth less than that, and our children's lives are worth less than that, and LGBTQI black lives are worth less than that. Like, so that's what happens, to in my opinion, is when you look at intimate partner violence and you see black women are killed more often, it's because there's less recourse. Like, hitting a black woman leads to way less consequences than hitting a white woman in our country, you know? So it's different, you know? We read so many articles where, like, a trans person is killed by a black man, or for the record, it could probably be any man, but in these cases, these trans women of color are normally killed by black men. And you look at the sentence, and if you follow the story all the way to the sentencing in court, and they're getting, like, 10 years, 12 years, 20 years for murder, cold-blooded murder on the street, you know what I mean? Like, that what's the value of a trans person's life? Well, that's why people treat trans people that way, because no one's valuing their lives. You know, when you can use the homophobic panic defense or the trans panic defense, when you can use these in court as an actual legal defense of, hey, I'm a straight man and I found out this person was trans, so I killed them, so I should not get a jail sentence that is, you know, in any significant way comparative to if I killed a straight person. Like, that, those are the defenses people have, you know? So I think of it as a holistic approach of a lack of resources and recourses for the victims of this violence. And the victims of it's more than just violence, right? Because, like, violence is, you know, obviously the most important thing, because, you know, why would I ever want to see another black person killed by a black person, period, right? But more than just violence, there's a privilege in how we protect Cam Newton. There's a privilege in how we defend Ezekiel Elliott or LeVar Ball. We don't do that for black women. Like we cherry pick our black women shit, right? Like Jemele Hill, like I said, talks about Trump, black men getting up and, oh, that's what I'm talking about. Let Jemele Hill give a sports opinion they don't like. Let Jemele Hill say that she's experienced sexism from a black person or an athlete or something. It's different. And then she got to go. She, all the females and all that, you know, like misogyny is a tie that binds us to white men in a way that is super scary to me, because anything that comes from that system of patriarchy and oppression is poison for us, really. You know, I understand you can't change everything by yourself. You just one person. So I'm not trying to advocate and I'm not some pie in the sky ass idealist either. I don't think we're gonna change capitalism to socialism tonight. Like, I don't think that. I just feel like in general we should be wary of certain shit. Your email talked about Christianity. I'm wary of Christianity because of that. You know, there's a lot of good people I know that are Christians. There's a lot of people doing a lot of dirt and harm in the name of Christianity too. So I'm wary of that shit. You know, that ain't from us. That was given, if it here in America, that was given to us to pacify us. And the same people that told that we're supposed to be getting liberation and freedom from via that book are the same people that were enslaving us. So I don't have a loyalty to that religion because of that, you know, and I can't cross that mental hurdle. I know some people have, they found a way to reconcile that. I can't do it. So anyway, to get back to the point, I thought the article was decent. I don't think it went far enough. I think if you leave out how we treat trans people, how we treat gay people within our community, then we're really just not completely looking at the whole prism of the privilege that we do have as straight black men. Like, that's it. Like, we do have a level of male privilege. But it's like people get offended at the idea, because any conversation about blackness that doesn't put black men as the, not just the leader, but also the most oppressed, is null and void to most people. You know, I listened to a podcast, well, what I could get through, the other day, where they were breaking down that article and how much they didn't like it, and they brought on this doctor who has spent his whole life basically trying to fight against the myth of the hypervigilant, hyperviolent black man and whatnot. And I understand that. You know, to me, like, as a black man, I feel that. You know, it scares me to think of how people view me sometimes, where I'm like, I'm just trying to walk into my apartment and, you know, somebody's looking at me like I'm a fucking criminal in my own place, you know. My neighbor upstairs doesn't want to walk past me on the way down the stairs, like I'm I don't live here too, or something, like I'm some type of dangerous person or something. I understand that, you know, not to mention targeted incarceration, systemic racism. Like, these are complex issues, and this is not saying black men are these you know, like we're just sitting around like being evil and nothing, and there's no mitigating circumstances, and this is not that. But we can't even have a conversation about anything we could possibly do better, about ways that we should be trying to erase the programming that this society has put in us, without people getting mad. You know, I think we do need to erase this programming, man. It's instead what we're too busy doing is telling black women that they shouldn't be feminist, and that they're destroying the community and shit like that. You know, that they shouldn't call the police when they're beaten, that they shouldn't want street harassment to stop. You know, we're too busy. See, this is the other part of this shit. And I'm sorry to get on our soapbox. Mm-hmm, you're good, baby. But this is the other part of this shit too. We, as status quo, as things are as right now, we have no shortage of motherfuckers telling black women and black gay people and children what to do. So we're not even coming at it from an even place. Like, the church is constantly telling black women, black children what to do, black gay folks, constantly. Like, that organization doesn't really come down on men like that. We don't even go to the church for the most part, so it doesn't even come down on men like that. when it comes to this, to activism and leadership and shit, we rally for a black man who gets killed way more than we rally for a black woman that gets killed, black trans person get killed, black gay person that gets killed. Men, we have an easier time getting more people to march. It's just open and shut case. That's, you know, civil rights leaders, we much easier to go through the men, the name of the men who have either led or been killed or whatever in this country than it is to go through the women. It's just much easier, you know. There's some benefits that we have, some tangible and some intangible, but if you discuss these, then it becomes anger at the fact that you're not actively saying, well, maybe we should pull back on some of this shit, you know. Like when that woman wrote that article about not marching for black men who get killed by the police anymore, because when black women get killed, these men don't come out and march for them, she got called divisive. She got called every word in the book, you know. When Cam says something, when LeVar Ball says something, we pull out the Emmett Till playbook, you know, the dangerous white women trying to trap these black men type thing. Like, we are really good with that. No matter how fucking, when Mayweather's fighting McGregor, we are so good with rallying behind the black man, no matter how fucked up and problematic he could have been, no matter how he might not even want your black ass supporting him, and we'll run over there to protect that person. But we just are not very good with that reciprocating, you know, in my opinion. So I think that's a big part of it. And no, you can't separate it all out. It's very difficult, I understand. But a lot of these niggas just want to cop out. Because you see how they did the gun debate after Vegas? We can't talk about this right now. That's what a lot of black men are doing, and black people in general are doing, whenever you talk about, well, what can we as black men do better? We can't talk about this. You're being divisive. Now's not the time. You know, we gotta talk, but we don't ever say now's not the time for Tyrese to talk some shit about black women. We'll never say now's not the time for Steve Harvey to put out another one of them 18 button suit books. You know, we don't have this now's not the time shit. When Roland Martin's blaming black women for that fucking Birth of a Nation movie flopping, we don't do it. Now's not the time. Black men support him and go out and harass these women for bringing up that they don't want to support a guy who's been accused of rape. Like, that's the kind of thing. We want solidarity when it's our shit, and that is so fucking white. So yeah, that's where that comes from. So that's how I feel about it. And like I said, man, if that makes me some kind of coon or sellout or less black than somebody else, I'll be that, man, because I do think we can do better. And I don't think it's a slap in the face to say these are things that I see us doing fucked up that look a lot like what white people do to us, and I don't want to be a part of it. That's all. Sorry for going on that long tangent.
You're fine, and it's one of the things where for a lot of black men, they go through the same emotional thing that white people go through. It's like, I got privilege, you automatically reject it. I got a change, you automatically reject it. You know, you begin to feel bad because you wish there was something more that you could do about it. I get wrapped up in my feelings. I get wrapped up in me. I get wrapped up in, I want to do something, but I don't know how to respond, you know. And it's a learning curve, you know, just like a lot of niggas don't want to deal with white people going through a learning curve, but they have to go through a learning curve when it comes to racism.
Right.
Black men have to go through a learning curve when it comes to sexism. Just like white people have to learn how to be reprogrammed, black men need to learn how to become reprogrammed. Men in general, but particularly right. We talk about black men need to learn how to become reprogrammed. You have to learn how to look at women, all women, not the women you fucking, not the ones you're related to, all women, as somebody's sister, somebody's mother, somebody's aunt, somebody's friend, somebody's loved one. You have to learn how to have compassion behind things that you're not putting your dick into and you're not related to by blood. And that is very hard to reprogram yourself when society has told you that everything is wrapped around you. You as a black man, anything that happens to you is the most oppressive thing ever, and everybody else is secondary to that, and they should support you no matter what happens to you. I demand that you be my mule. I demand that you do the work, and I just sit here and kind of quote unquote take the accolades or step in and tell you what to do. And you have to be reprogrammed from that. You have to learn how to give women the praise when they do. Don't talk down to them. Don't act like they're less than, because there's a lot of quote unquote good men that actually, when you, if you listen to them talk and you hear how them do things, you go, oh, okay, you don't respect women. And when you tell them that, they act like you're the problem. But you've been programmed to use cold words like female. You've been programmed to you know, call women these names. You've been programmed the first thing, you know, if something happens to a woman, you look at her kids and you just go, well, where your kids at? You've been, and women too, you've been program, you did never give black women the benefit of the doubt. Everything is their problem. Anything that happens to us as a whole is automatically their problem. Not what can I do to be better? What can I do to chip in? What can I do to make a change? How can I help to evolve this? And that's how it comes with white people and racism. It's the same thing. And I think that until you fix the systemic problem of people being reprogrammed, you're going to continue to have this problem.
Yeah, and for the record, to me, it's right or wrong, right? Like, because what happens is we end up in a situation where it's like, well, it's black man versus this. To me, it's always kind of what's right and what's wrong. Because I've also been in a situation where we had to come on here, and I don't take any, like, none of this shit makes me feel good. I don't, you know, like yesterday some dude called me a cishet black feminist hero, which I don't know which part of that was supposed to be an insult, but whatever, right? Okay. But the point being, and I don't see myself as a hero, but the point being, I don't like these conversations any more than anyone else. Like, these are my least favorite conversations to have to a certain extent, because we don't get to be funny. We're not, you know, it's not very it feels like a lecture. It feels soapboxes. It, you know, I'm having to think about myself and my people and my and how fucked up we can be towards each other. I don't like thinking about that shit. Like, I can just, but I also feel obligated to be honest and not to ignore that shit, because when other people do it, or when they go out here and spread this bullshit, we let them cook, and that's terrible. You know what I mean? So, like, in this case, we've come on this show before and talked about, like, Chimamanda going at, who's a cishet black woman, who was saying basically that trans women aren't women. And that should be considered something different than just a woman. Like we've had that conversation. I don't like it's not about a team for me. It's not about placating to a certain brand or a certain, like, this is just how I view the world, where I'm like, well, why are we so dead set on putting that caste system within our own community that was put on us to hold us back? I don't want to replicate it, you know, and if that makes me whatever, then I'll just be that, because I'm never going to be ashamed of just thinking that that's wrong, man. We should not imitate what we have seen used to beat us down. That's all I'm saying.
Correct. I agree. And it's one of those things where, as long as it's a problem, we're going to keep bringing it up, because, you know, a lot of times people are like, well, why y'all keep talking about it? Because it's a problem. Like, these are systemic things. Everything, like with Cam and you see it on social media. If you've been on social media long enough, you know X, Y, and Z is going to happen. You know, women going to get mad. They're not going to be that mad. The male's going to come in and fuss against them. They're going to get a little mad. Then you're going to have the hotels to come out there. Then that's when women going to really get mad. And there's a fucking war across all social medias. And it plays out over and over and over and over again. So that means it's a systemic problem with the men. A lot of times, if men would just let women vent, the situation would go, because that's all women want to do, is just vent. Just like you want to vent about your football or basketball or whatever it is that you want to be mad about for the day. Just like when a black man dies, how I got to look at your timeline and see you rail for 5 days, and don't nobody come and tell you to shut that. Well, white people, right, do, but as far as black women, most black women are going to be supportive of you and your opinion. They're not going to come and tell you to shut the hell up. They're not going to come and tell you you're being divisive. They're not going to come and tell you, you know, this is not the time for you to vent your anger and vent your frustration. They're not going to tell you your feelings not valid. They're not going to tell you what you've seen or what you saw ain't real. You don't get that from black women. But everything for a woman, it's you're lying. These bitches be lying. These bitches are crazy. These bitches making shit up. I don't believe you. Why didn't you come out earlier? For whatever the situation is, it's always some excuse for us. And that's where you get these big wars and the problem, instead of just letting people vent their frustration.
Yeah, man. All I'll say is this. The way I view blackness is we need each other.
Yes, we do.
Whether we recognize it or not. And me saying we got to be kinder and be better towards everybody within the community, instead of just picking and choosing and opting out. And like, I don't find what I'm saying to be that fucking controversial. I don't know why people get mad when I say it. I don't, like, literally, it just seemed like right and wrong to me. And I would never fake that shit for anybody. And as I grow in my understanding of blackness, the world of history, of intersectionality, all this shit, that's what I put on this show. That's what Karen puts on this show. We growing just like y'all. Like,
right.
7 years ago, I might not have thought this way. You know what I mean?
No,
there's things I wouldn't even seen as important issues now that I'm like, well, damn, if you start here, this is how shit gets fucked up for everybody. But that's part of being older. That's part of being growing. I don't want to stay in the same box I was born in, and I don't want to stay in the same mental prisons that was put upon me. I don't want to die under the same ignorance that I was born in. And I understand a lot of people feel like the fight of their lives is to maintain that ignorance. Like, how do I just keep my head down and stay the same person? And that's their choice, but that's not how I want to live my life. I'm here for all users of the 53% that Karen has, and like her, I'm here for all the tea on Megyn Kelly and them trying to wash this turd off. Also, just because of Karen's beautiful mind, hashtag let the chopper spray. LOL, I'm old and I'm black. Well, Karen, me too. Anyway, I had to go premium just because I had an extra $20 this month. Love you guys. Sorry took too long for too long emails this week. Miss 1KO. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Appreciate the emails, man.
Mm-hmm.
And a chance to clarify on that article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that means a lot. And I'm glad we had this conversation, because at the end of the day, the biggest part of that whole conversation is that we need each other. I need you just as much as you need me. And
right.
that's all black women are saying. We need right. you. And right. you're actually smacking us in the face. Well, we don't need you. Yes, you
right.
do.
Right. We need each other, man.
Yes.
More than people think, man.
Yeah. And deeper than that, not only do we need you, we love you. Like, right. like, I don't think men see women reaching out to them and their frustration going, but I'm doing this out of pure just love for you as a black right. man, because I love my people.
We need each other, just because, like, if you're a black man that's a misogynist, or you hate black women, or whatever fucking problems you have, you hate gay people, whatever. Look, man, one, gay black people exist. Women that are black people exist. I don't care, like, since we view women through a lens of sex, like romance and shit,
it's ownership
romantically, like, we have a lot of that when we view women. It's hard for us to break that programming. So you have a lot of men that are like, well, I'm disassociating romantically from black women, so therefore fuck, I need this for black women, always this, black women always that. And they're like, but then what when you have a black daughter? What about your black mom? What about your black sister? What about that? And I have to get into that level. I hate to, but it mm-hmm. has to be that. Because some motherfuckers really refuse to think beyond. They don't think of women outside of the women in their lives that they aren't fucking as humans.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone outside of these women are here for sex. Everybody else is, you know, fuck them and everything they think. So, anyway, it's complicated, but we're going to keep talking about it, man. I'm not going to be scared about it. And
mm-mm.
we'll lose some listeners. We'll lose some folks. You know, like I said, I've been accused of faking my opinions on this shit, which is hilarious to me, because if I was gonna fake opinions, I'd be Jason Whitlock. I'd rather be rich if I was gonna be up here bullshitting. Like, what? These things aren't, I never know how people gonna feel about the things I say, but I'd rather be honest. You know, I listen to other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. There's enough of the status quo out there for people to get their feel elsewhere, so I don't know why people have a problem with me talking like this. Allegra says, hey, you two, I just want to say that I'm completely enlightened, entertained, and enthralled by the Vietnam War series on PBS. My husband and I have been watching intensely, and have, as we do with a lot of things, paused the show and had discussions. So sometimes it takes us a little longer to finish an episode. I freaked out a bit when I realized that one Vietnam restaurant I eat at is named Hue after the city that lay victim to the Tet Offensive. Now I'm curious about the history of the owners of that restaurant. Anyway, I was born just as the Vietnam War was ending, so I had no memory of it, me neither, other than its effects on some of my close relatives. Looking at how the everyday calamities of the U.S. soldiers had to face, that like faulty equipment, lack of knowledge of the enemy's culture and history, and not getting the whole truth from our government, makes me think of the Iraq War. All right, and that's before they had as much media as we have. Well, we have to get the, and think about it, the main mistake they really made was LBJ from the when he let the media go in with no restrictions. I mean, like 200 journalists died in that war, by the way, but think about that. Like, we would have never got the story if they would have kept like some sort of like you can't do this, it's classified rules with the media. The media to them is what quote unquote really lost the war. But that just means without the media, they would have sank more lives, more money, and more manpower into dying out there.
Correct.
Well, we have 40 plus years of Ken Burns to get us up the realities and truths behind Iraq War in a stunning PBS series.
We might. That man's a national treasure.
Yeah, he might be working on it now. Thanks for letting us in on a great series. Always enjoy you and Karen's insight. Kissy face, kissy face, kissy face, Allegra A. Thanks, Allegra.
Thank you.
And this last one is a great way to end the show, guys. This this really, I think you guys are going to enjoy this. I saw it earlier, so I'm kind of in the know. But we got one last email, and I got to get out of here because I think Nina's thing is at 2. And, of course, it's moving slow now. All right, let me see if this comes on screen. Karen, let me know if you see it pop on the screen. Samantha sent us an email. Hey Rod and Karen, just wanted to share this video with you of my 17 year old baby girl singing along to Guess the Race intro song. I've been listening to your show before my baby was even an idea, maybe during conception. And I'm sure throughout my entire pregnancy, lol. So it's only natural that she's already a fan. Thanks for keeping me and my husband woke as fuck. Oh, and don't judge me, I'll restrict her listening soon, just not today. You know what, I don't, how, when can they pick up? I don't know the age range when the kids start picking up. I, you know, there's like an age where kids are in the room and you can be like, man, fuck that shit, and then there's an age where they just turn around and be like, fuck that shit, and you're like, I guess we gotta stop talking like
this. We gotta stop talking.
I'm also a listener that called in and left a message about the crazy parents that freaked out over a lesson taught to kindergartners about being transgender. I'm not a candy lady. Great idea. I consider it, but I live around too many white people, homo association and all. Yeah, you know they was, oh, I'm sure they'll snitch. That's what she said. Yep. You know they'll snitch. So did it show up, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me see if I can blow this up for you guys so you guys can see it. But this is her baby singing along to Guess the Race, 17 months old. I showed this to Justin during Balls Deep yesterday.
Now it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that is time for some Guess the
Race. Oh, she's adorable.
That is so cute. We thank you. And that's it, man, for the show. Appreciate everybody for tuning in live. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
A shit ton of white people news.
Mm-hmm. And premium folks probably gonna get some more stuff.
Right. So we'll see y'all then. I gotta hop on podcast fandom and do our Queen Sugar recap. Thanks for Brokeback Mountain. I'll make sure to watch this. I'll try to live tweet it too. And we'll talk to y'all later. Premium people, Balls Deep pregame came out yesterday. Today I'm doing a off-season review of Defenders with Leslie Mack from the Interracial John podcast.
It's too much.
We did This Too Much, me and Bossy, yesterday. As you can imagine, it's a very busy day. Mm-hmm. And shout out to my man Mike Felder, who hooked me up with the pumpkin bars.
Oh, those were they were flying. They were delicious.
So I went across, down to Pineville and bought some, got some pumpkin bars from him. He hooked your boy up. So thank you so much.
And tomorrow night is The Walking Dead.
Fear the Walking Dead recap. We'll be doing that tomorrow night. So, all right, guys, we'll talk to y'all tomorrow. And, until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.